All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. And we have an abbreviated open because just happening. How do you say that? They just happened to stop by the studio.
To be here.
Wes Welker and Matt Castle were here doing some kind of read for some commercial, and they were nice enough to join us for a few minutes here. Guys, welcome.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, we're happy to be here.
Happy to have happened to have been here.
Yeah, welcome.
You're lying your ass off.
Whatever. So,
that hurts more coming from your favorite guy, too.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Wes Welker is your favorite player?
Well, I don't know if he's my favorite, but
he's your favorite player.
Come on,
you talked about him nonstop.
He's blushing. He's blushing.
You are blushing right now.
No, I was talking about you before you even got here, so.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Probably bad.
Yeah. No, he was great. No.
It'd be me. That was
the other guy.
I knew what you were going to do for this team, and everything I said came to fruition. So now,
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is it disrespectful to call you a nice little player?
A nice little player.
How about pocket change?
Whoa, we never
had a minute.
Pocket
Come on
change.
Now.
A nice little player. I mean, I think that's. I don't know. Kind of gay, but
well, he fits into the show perfectly.
He really does.
How about a short little player?
How about a tall, skinny bench warmer?
Everybody had to do that. Look, Welker was a bench warmer for plenty of time before he got here, so you know it's all in good time.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I think one time I sprained my ankle. And
you'll always
go,
be short.
Well, you did get caught. You haven't been cut yet, Matt.
Not yet, but that could be coming soon enough. But he's definitely been cut, and I haven't been cut yet, so that's good.
So I assume you guys are in the building today doing your OTA workout and all that stuff.
There's no doubt. We're getting after it.
Are you? Do you guys?
You're really bringing the passion.
Oh yeah.
Do you guys have separate? You know, things that you're doing, or is everyone together, or are the wide receivers here doing one thing, quarterbacks doing something else at this time of year, or is everyone doing the same thing at the same time?
Everybody's pretty much doing the same thing. You know, we're all, you know, going through the same workouts and stuff, and, you know, we'll break up, and obviously he throws, I catch, and you know, things like that. But as far as running wise and lifting, you know, we're all pretty much on the same regiment.
Okay. So you don't have, like, separate programs, like, you know, you don't have a tailored program for just you and, you know, Wes or?
You know, as far as, you know, how much weight you're doing and stuff like that. But, everybody's pretty much doing the same thing. And obviously you're not doing the same type of running type stuff that the offensive line's doing. And, you know, that's a little different. But
as far as you're concerned, I mean, we all went through last year together. Is it too soon to be coming back, or are you just ready to get out there and let's just go and start this thing up again?
You know, for me, I mean, the off season was a lot shorter than what it usually is, but you know, I was ready to get back. You know, you take so much time off and you kind of get to the point where you're ready to come back and ready to get after it again.
How about you, Matt?
I'm the same way. I mean, I like working out. I like getting after it and doing all that stuff. So it's good to be back in the swing of things. And this is what we do for a living. So it's always fun to get away for a little bit, come back, fresh new faces. Right. You're not jumping at each other's throat.
You don't get to jet around with Tom Brady, and it's, you know. So
no, I'm surprised. It's a surprise he hasn't called me and put me on a plane or something out to Los Angeles for a weekend you know, something like that. I don't know what's going on.
Now that McDonough's gone, he's got.
I don't know what he's going to do without his bag boy.
All saddlebags.
I mean, that's really the headline that should be in Boston Globe right now is how Tom's going to react to Will McDonough not being here.
Is it true on Secretary Day that McDonough got flowers?
Valentine's Day he did. A nice bouquet of red roses.
Well, I know you guys.
And chocolates. Chocolates.
Oh,
lots
no
of chocolate. Are you kidding
he
me?
He eats every one of those chocolates.
Oh, man. He kills it.
I know you guys only have a few minutes, but I just wanted to get a quick opinion, the force-out rule that they changed. You no longer that rule's not in effect anymore. You have to get 2 feet in. If you don't, no matter how you got knocked out of bounds, it's not a catch. You know, as a quarterback and a wide receiver, how do you guys feel about that rule being changed?
It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, but at the same time, you'd think that it'd have a pretty big effect because now guys that are going up, especially I'd say more so in the red zone, when you're throwing the ball high in the back of the end zone or you're throwing a fade route and a guy like Randy Moss that's going to go up vertically and try to get the ball, I think it's a lot easier play for a defender now to just go up and push him out of bounds. And if he's able to push him far enough, because a lot of those throws are on the end line where 2 feet have to come down in bounds. And if you're vertical, it's real hard to bring your momentum down without some guy pushing you out of bounds. So I think that'll play a pretty significant role. It'll be interesting to see how it all comes down and plays out.
Wes, what do you think? Do you think it'll increase the likely of injuries because guys are just taking a run at you and realizing, hey, all I have to do is just ram this guy out of bounds. I don't have to worry about, you know, the force out anymore.
I don't know as far as injuries go. You know, I think every play there's, you know, that possibility. But, you know, I'm really not too worried about it because my game.
You're not a sideline
guy. It's not going to be a toe tap or, you know, throw it up to me. You know, it's going to be more underneath stuff. So
what are you talking about, dude? You're going to need to run a ton of phases.
Well, that's, you know, yeah, that's something we're definitely working into the game plan, use my strengths there. But, you know, I think some of the bigger guys like Randy and stuff will, you know, have to adjust to a little bit. But, you know, we'll just have to see how that rule plays out. But I don't think it'll play much different, you know. Yeah. I just think it's the rule change, and you know it is what it is. So you just have to play it out and try and get 2 feet down.
We talked about we're in favor of going to the college 1 foot in bounds. What do you guys think about that?
I like the 2 feet.
You like 2 feet? Why is that?
It just makes it more skillful, I would believe. You know, okay. I mean, it's real easy to get a 1 foot down. And
see, I would think you'd want to go 1 foot. It would help you, you know.
Yeah,
know?
But we're professionals. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to make it a little bit more difficult.
How many times are you going to tell us you're a professional?
Why don't we move that?
I'm a professional. I'm a professional. I'm serious.
Widen the goalposts and do all that. I mean, come on. There's got to be a little bit of rule difference.
Yeah, you got to either be the next level, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, especially when you're in college, you're like, you know, you catch one with 2 feet in and people will be like, oh, that would have been good in the NFL.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So there's kind of that mystique there, you know.
Okay.
It's like the NBA three. Oh, that would have been good from NBA distance.
Yeah. Yeah. I never thought of it that way. That's a good
When you were in college, Wes, did you try to do that when you had like a sideline catch? Did you try to get 2 feet in thinking, you know, maybe, you know, thinking ahead to the next level?
You know, I tried to get 2 feet in just, you know, to make sure that you got one. You know, now that you're in the NFL, you try and get three down just to make sure you got two, you know. So
you have a third leg, do you?
It's
very talented.
Easy. All right. This isn't real radio. It's internet, you know, so there's no FCC regulations.
It's like a little toe.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, third little toe.
you sure you want to go there?
Cracked himself up.
Little guy, big punch, huh?
It's like you. Where's Izzo when you need him?
Next topic. Oh, Gary, you want us to move on back to a football
You're
topic?
Wrong.
All right.
Do you guys think it's interesting, though, a couple of these rules, the headset for the defenders and obviously this push-out rule are defense rules. They help out the defense. You think that's just coincidental? Because the defenders always complain that this is an offense-happy league, and every rule they make is for the offense. Do you think this is just a coincidence that these are happening, or maybe they're going to start to go back the other way and help out the defense? So,
well, I think probably a lot of the rule had to do with the defender having the headset now, and it has to do with the Spygate thing.
I don't know if you were going to go there.
I don't know what it, you know, but I'm sure that a lot of it had to do with that, but whether or not that plays a significant role, I don't really know, because you're still going to call your defense and run your plays, and we're going to have to execute and do the same thing. So,
so ridiculous.
I mean, so ridiculous.
Call Gary.
And then the other one is definitely, I would say, would be a benefit to the defense. So I'm sure those guys are happy, because all you ever hear them do is complain, especially defensive backs, about how
I
can't jam, I can't punch, I can't do this.
I just talked to Fernando Bryan, and he actually said they better enjoy it because he guesses that they'll only be there for 1 year and then they'll go back to the old rule.
Perfect.
It's always for the offense in this league, he said.
All right. Well, guys, we appreciate you stopping by. I know you have other things to do, I think. I don't know. Maybe you don't. I don't know.
No, we do.
Well, they are professionals.
I said it with the purpose of trying to explain, you know, there's got to be a little differentiation, a little difference.
No, I like that.
Between
I'd never
the professional
thought of it that
and
way.
The college
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Because they did change the other one, too. You can defer the kickoff now, like it is in. If you win the coin toss, you can defer your decision like you can in college and the pros.
I didn't even know that rule existed.
Yeah.
I think most people didn't, actually.
He does the
same
thing.
Guess it was a good thing you weren't out there for the coin toss.
Yeah, exactly.
He does the same thing whenever we go out. I'm a professional. I play NFL. I play football.
Does it do you
over
any good,
and over again?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Every bit you can out of this, huh?
Hey, look, let me tell you. If you guys want to get a treat, you should go to the horse track and watch Wes Welker jockey because So let me just tell you, that's a real treat. So
give you guys your own show.
He doubles when it comes from football. He's just as gifted at jockey.
I tell you, no, Matt does a great job of picking up the horse crap.
I'm telling you. It's
like picking up Tom's balls. You know? No pun intended.
Wow. 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 Okay.
These guys are dirtier than we are.
Seriously.
You have no idea.
All right. I do have an idea.
I like your boobs.
All right. Wes Welker, Matt Castle, thanks a lot for stopping in. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you all.
Thanks.
All right.
All right. That's a little unexpected visit.
Most of our interviews are. They just sort of happen.
Because Gary doesn't do anything for us.
Right. If the guy happens to be here, Gary hooks us up. Otherwise, he's playing solitaire.
All right. So, Gary, now do you play the Open, or we just go into the show? All right, we'll just keep going. All right, so
that would be a little awkward to play the Open at 12:15.
Yeah, it is 12:12. Is it time for the 12:12 break?
Email is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com, and the phone number is 508-543-7482. It's funny. I got down here at about 20 of.
Mm-hmm. Looking for food.
And I'm working on the computer, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden I hear, ah, behind me. And Wes Welker had opened the door and scared the crap out of me.
So that's one you're going to tell to the grandkids.
Oh,
your hero.
Oh, yeah. This is even better than when you walk by a lawyer in Atlanta.
So apparently they're supposed to come down and do a spot. And I got Gary on the phone, and he didn't know they were supposed to come at this time. So blah, blah, blah. So Gary hustled down here. And
that info wasn't in his folder?
No, he didn't even have his clipboard with him.
It's with the Penske file.
Wow. He didn't have his clipboard with
him. He didn't like that, Eric.
No,
look he just gave you.
So they read something for some country club,
and then they turned into PFW in Progress.
Seriously,
joke.
You talk about perfectly.
Yeah, talk
Castle
about laughing at
in.
His own jokes like me.
Wow, that was
cracked himself up.
That was good. We should have them on again.
They should have their own show. You're right, Fred.
They really should.
Now they would be like us. It'd be a question of how long they stayed on the air before they really offended. Or
oh, moved, and someone would have to let Mr. Kraft know that what was going on in the little toy store.
And for the record, apparently Wes Welker does take offense to nice little players.
I think so.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he?
Judging,
just asking.
Because I don't. Well, I certainly didn't mean it to be when I said it to be demeaning in any way, shape, or form.
And he just thinks it's quote gay.
Right. Well,
I think Castle takes offense to he can't play.
Well, apparently he feels the same way because I said you haven't been cut yet, and he said yeah. He sees the writing on the wall.
That's all right. He'll have a job somewhere, I'm sure, in this league.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. No doubt.
Maybe right here in behind a microphone.
2-4.
Definitely.
But now also we got a little inside scoop on some of the various players' anatomy in the locker room. Not sure I wanted to know that, but that's okay.
Poor Larry Izzo.
But they're like Fred, where you can just kind of lead them in a direction, and they roll off on their own.
Yeah.
So you have a third leg. Oh, that's a third leg. It's a third toe. It's Larry Izzo. They just went off on a whole rant.
That's good.
That was funny.
That's good. All right, so we're all here.
I noticed how Fred just took over. Andy and Eric
he
were trying
always
to ask
does.
Questions.
Don't you remember that? Emailers email in and say, Fred, stop asking questions so somebody else can ask. And he always does that.
His face
half
did
the
get
time
as red
you have
as
to wake
shirt,
up.
Though. When,
oh, yeah. You did. You got
blush? Oh, yeah. You had blush.
You did.
You had blush.
Well, it's your idol. He's in the building.
I know.
He's not my idol.
I figured it wasn't.
I recognized the value he would have on this team.
But I wasn't like – I figured it wouldn't be bad. I mean, if you had said, like, you know, that he's the worst player that's ever played and I was calling you out in front of him, then I could see you being mad. But, you know, it was over the top positive. I figured
– I know, but it's still embarrassing.
Well, hey, we all get embarrassed, Fred. I'm the one that said that he was a good little player.
Right. Or
actually, a nice little player.
Loose change, I should say.
Loose change.
Loose change. That. We don't really need to go down that road.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Well, and
I can read this on the air, Gary.
What's
Our
this?
A good friend Strippers says, Wes Welker has a baby arm.
I don't know what that means.
Instead of a third leg, he's got a baby arm.
The discussion that they were having a few minutes ago.
All right, well. actually, Strippers, the Dirty.com got a little love.
A lot of
love.
Media. A lot of love.
Matt Leinart pictures all over the place on that site and also another site.
Yeah, let's just keep it at that. Strippers is one of us, so let's send them to the Dirty.
Right, and I guess they mentioned it. Well, I heard on EEI and on ESPN Radio this morning, Mike and Mike in the morning, but Strippers was telling me, he emailed me back. I sent something to him, giving him props, and I guess it was on PTI and SportsCenter yesterday.
The Dirty blowing up.
Yeah.
And I
guess, thought that would be worth a lunch. I guess, however,
it
I
also,
think we're mistaken.
It also prompted Liner to give a call to Ken Wisenhut and kind of apologize for what's going on. You know, so
yeah, what's the explanation?
The explanation is I'm holding a funnel over this 20-year-old girl so she can drink.
I mean, it is what
well,
it is.
Well, the question is, yeah, is she under 21? And apparently she might be.
Oh, I don't think it's much better. I mean, yes, legally it's a lot worse, but I don't think it's better in terms of his Ken Wisenhunt's perspective.
Yeah, right.
The problem
is,
21
as Matt Cassel would say, he's a professional, and he apparently hasn't left the frats in college. That's the problem.
So that's on the docket today. Also, of course, the owner's meeting.
Ask Cassel.
Yeah, we should.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, Fred had stopped.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, you had your chance. You didn't do it, so don't blame me.
I didn't, but that's because I was figuring I get one question here. I just got to dive in with one. Fred's at 17.
All right.
All right. All right.
Yes.
I like the force out talk, not to belabor the point. And I wanted to mention, I said to you off the air, that, you know, I was thinking about it a little bit this morning, listening to some of the local radio talk about the rules changes. And the one point that you made that I really thought was a good one on your side, was totally against me, was you're saying it was at least something to help out the defense. It seems that so many of the rules favor the offense.
Right.
This is something that at least ostensibly should help the defense a little bit. I think that's a good point.
Okay, good.
They kind of were
No,
in line
but I like
you.
The idea of taking it to the next level. In the pros, it should be a little bit tougher to establish possession. And I like that. You know, you would think offensive guys wouldn't want that rule. They want, you know, one toe down.
I like the idea of it being a little bit more difficult at the pro level. I don't like this particular one. I think 1 foot in bounds is enough. But like some of the clock rules, I think, that are different, that makes it tougher. It's tougher to score with 2 minutes left in the NFL than it is in college.
In college, you can go up and down the field 4 times.
You know, the clock doesn't stop on every first down to set the chains, things like that. There are differences. There are subtle differences in the games, and I think that's good for what you're talking about.
The owners' meetings ended yesterday, and the big news was, you know, the whole Spygate stuff and Bill Belichick extensively talking about it, really, you know, going into it more than he ever has. And then Robert Kraft talking about it in public, but also, I guess, addressing all the other owners in private.
Yes.
And for that, he received applause, and Bill Belichick followed him with his own mea culpa. And basically, you know, the whole idea was, let's clear the air, let's apologize for this, admit we're wrong, you know, and how proud we are to work for the NFL. And it was well received. Bill Polian. I might have to stop calling him Polian if he keeps talking about the Patriots and the Crafts the way he did.
Yeah, he
was over the top praising how, you know, classy the Crafts were and so on. So, hey, it's nice to see. And it's good that the owners have, you know, said, you know, we've had enough of this. Herm Edwards said they didn't even think that the Robert Kraft needed to do what he did.
Well, it seems like they're starting to rally now around their own.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning it was sort of like, the appearance was that they were sort of like, look what's happening.
And
but now it's out.
The mud flies in all directions.
Sure.
So everyone's going to get dirty if they keep throwing it.
And it's bad for the league.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know where I read it, but there was an unnamed guy who said it also serves basically as a reminder. We're all trying to push the envelope and do different things.
Right.
And this whole thing sort of served as a reminder that, you know, keep it within reason and kind of rein it back in.
Speaking of reason, on the phone is John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Hi, great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Well, I wanted to weigh in on the video version of TFW in Progress.
Okay. No, he's still there.
I'm still here. I like the idea of being able to watch it like that, but I do think that if you did have video, it would necessarily make you guys pull back a little bit. I just think there's a difference in the sort of wild and wacky, shaving my back, etc. stuff that even it somehow becomes
that's weird,
more
wacky,
flagrant when
stuff.
It's on tape,
yeah,
when it's on video.
It could, because I know Andy would definitely hold back if he knew that there was a camera on him. You know,
well,
you
no, think, I know so? That it would still be sort of crazy, but I do think that it would feel like maybe even to the Patriots organization that you would have to be slightly less overt with the juvenile stuff that we love.
Right. Because now half the time people think it's not me talking, and I can always deny it. But if I'm on camera, then there's no denying it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But I do, I like the idea, as long as I could still download it to my iPod Shuffle, and where I don't have to see, not that I don't have to see your faces, but, you know, just so I'd be able to listen to it if I don't have some, you know.
Well, in iTunes, if you download it and put it in your music library, I think it automatically does not take the video.
It just goes shifted to audio. Okay,
right.
Well, I don't know anything about stuff like that, so that's good enough.
Neither does Fred.
All right. Well, that's good, John. Thank you for the input. Anything else?
How about PFW merchandise, John? Would you buy that?
I think that I believe Bill Belichick. And I'm not just blindly saying that. I mean, I think he seems – I can't imagine that he would come out and say all that stuff and screw over Kraft when Kraft was probably a little ticked off when the stuff first hit the fan.
I think it would be pretty ballsy.
Believing
if
what?
It actually was – if he knew there was – That the practices were taped or whatever.
Oh, Bill has been. I think he's very believable in everything he said recently at the owners' meetings, and I thought the way he delivered
it 6 months ago.
He should have said it 6 months ago. I think this would have played out a lot differently. The only question I have in terms of believing him when he says he misinterpreted the rule is they were slapped on the wrist a couple times, and why would the league slap you on the wrist if you weren't breaking a rule?
No, I think I said that, Andy.
Did the league slap them in the wrist, or did other teams shoo away
cameramen? A little of both.
Because I know that, but when did the league slap them in the wrist?
They sent them
reissuing the memo.
Yeah,
but that was a clarification.
But I believe there was a separate one that went just to them as well.
Did they?
I believe that might have happened.
I don't know.
My understanding, and I don't know all the facts, but the details. But my understanding of how it played out was teams reprimanded them a couple times.
Well,
those teams complained.
We reprimand other teams too,
right,
though.
But those teams at some point complained to the league. The league found out and sent a memo or some sort of communication just to the Patriots.
Right,
and then came the league wide. This is an issue. We're explaining it to everyone, so everyone's on the same page. But if you get your individual wrist slapped, that kind of hints you towards you're doing something the league doesn't think you should be doing.
And Fred, did you just say that the Patriots also reprimanded some other teams? Called into question some other teams?
Well, not we shoo away camera people from our bench all the time.
Okay, right. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Why? But that's even like NBC.
Why? Why would we?
Because we don't want them filming our bench.
Because we know it's wrong. Because we know we know what the rule is, and we know they're breaking it.
So we're showing them away from the bench. Same reason why in Pittsburgh, when one of our guys went down, we shoot away their trainer. We just don't want anybody looking at our stuff.
I kind of agree with Fred on that.
And if you can
but
stop,
but it's illegal. No, you can't. If it's legal, you can't stop someone from doing it.
Yes,
you can stop the other team's trainer from going out and looking at Matt Light's broken leg. That's legal. You can't stop someone from doing something that's
legal. Wait a minute. No, we.
It's illegal to tape the other team's defensive signals, and the Patriots are well within
let me
phrase this properly. The Patriots are well within their rights to shoo video away off the sideline.
But even when
they're not within their rights.
Even if it was legal.
Right. They shooed away a network camera, and they're not allowed to do that.
I don't think
you remember Matt Caracciolo standing flexing?
That's a whole different argument. You're trying to hide an injury.
I think they shoo away everyone.
But you can do that.
It could be Steve Belichick with the
camera. But you can't shoo away a team from doing their video.
Yes, you can.
Only if it's illegal.
No, you can. Paul, you can do whatever you want. Then the next day you get a letter saying you have to let them do it.
Right.
But you can still let them – you can still shoo them away, and we do it all the time. They have a right to be down there.
I think they're given a pass. I think the Patriots are right to shoo them away. I don't have any problem with that. Don't misunderstand
me.
I think the Patriots are well within their rights.
That doesn't mean what they're doing is illegal.
Paul, are you going to take that?
I don't know. I agree wholeheartedly with Andy. And
I mean, when that trainer ran out, it wasn't
illegal,
but we still shoot him away.
There's absolutely zero doubt in my mind that Bill Belichick knew exactly what the rule was and what he was doing. There's zero. I don't even have any gray area in here at all. And the further proof to me is he did this. He got kicked out of Green Bay. Detroit complained about it here, and they complained, and nothing happened to the Patriots. So Bill said, they're not going to do anything. So I'm just going to keep doing it.
And he assumes others are doing it too.
I don't care what he assumes other people are doing. I'm just caring about what he thought the rule was. And I think he was 1,000% understanding a very simple rule.
Well,
nothing ever happened to him, so he kept doing it. And then something happened to him, and now he stopped.
Look, I believe
it's as simple as that.
I believe not just this rule, but I think any rule that he sees a loophole in, he pushes to the limit.
Right. Mm-hmm. But any loophole was taken away.
Well, the rule was never rewritten.
And nothing happened.
The rule was never rewritten.
But nothing happened to him for violating it. That's why he didn't stop doing it. Okay. Would you agree with that? That's where Andy started the whole thing.
Well,
I wholeheartedly agree with Andy on this.
Obviously, if they had told him, you know, if they had something had happened, he would have stopped. But, you know, there was no upside for stopping.
Right.
Because they were, you know.
And there was no downside for not stopping.
Right. But there's a difference there. There's no downside because there's no punishment.
Right. But
it's not a lack of knowledge.
I know, but almost every game when we're on the road, we see the other team's film crew filming our sideline. You know? Now, they might not do it for the same reason. They might be just doing it harmlessly to get B-roll or whatever, but we don't know that. You know? So it's...
But we do know that you're not supposed to do it. That's the only thing I see. You keep trying to cloud this issue by saying other teams are doing this. We shoo other teams away from doing that. All I'm trying to say is we know full well what the rules are.
And Fred also clouds the issue by saying that the film crew working for Kraft Sports Productions
is the same as what this is, which is apples and oranges.
They both work for the team, but they're not the same.
They're not the same. They're down there for different reasons.
No, I know.
Matt Estrella was down there taping the sideline.
Right, but my point is we shoo away anybody and everybody.
Exactly.
And I don't have a problem with that,
by the way.
We state that.
Matt's crew's been shooed away from other teams,
right,
too.
Right.
Matt's crew has been shooed away from the Patriots.
Well, besides that. But other teams shoo him away, and he's down there innocently.
And some teams have
specific
rules.
But the other team doesn't know that. The other team doesn't know why we're down there.
You're talking about Matt Smith, not Matt
Bill
Estrella.
Bill Polian blew a gasket for, you know, because of Phil Cruz being down there in the championship.
Does.
And they weren't down there filming the other team's sideline. They were just down there getting stuff for the game so they could do a show after. But the Colts didn't know that, and they have a right to shoot. Well, I don't know if they have a right, but they shoot him away anyway, you know? And they had to intervene. They had to get NFL people down there allow them back on the field.
All of that I agree with. I'm right on board with
that. Well, it happened. It's not.
No, I know. Yeah. But I'm saying the way you're I think that that's exactly right. And I think that, to me, is the proof that I think – I don't want to put words in your mouth, Andy, but I think that's what you're kind of getting at. That's proof to me that we know exactly what the rules are. We've seen these people shoot away from the sidelines. We don't like when people are doing it. We don't like when people stop us from doing it. We know what the rule is.
So, Fred, are you of the belief that he truly misinterpreted it?
No.
Or he interpreted it and saw a loophole?
I believe,
those are two different things, too.
I am truly under the belief that he felt it could be interpreted either way, and I'm going to choose to interpret the way that helps me.
No, I think that I think more so, just a little bit of a semantic thing, is what you said, only he said, this is what I'll say if they call me on it.
Right.
Not like this
one
can be interpreted one of two
naive
different ways.
Victim in,
he knows. He knows what the rule is supposed
one
to
is
mean.
One is being the devious genius that
he
is.
Well, sure.
Saying if push comes to shove, this is my out.
I have an out.
You
right.
know, when it comes to, you know, the court of law, whatever you want to call this court, that will be why I did it. That's the loophole that I used.
Okay. As long as we're on a.
That's the loophole that I used.
I have no problem with that.
You know?
I mean, I totally agree with you. And I think the larger point, which you started off this whole thing, is hats off to them for – and I know it's late. We all wanted to see this happen in September or at least at some point during the season. But hats off to them for, A, taking responsibility, and, B, explaining what exactly went on. Because this is really the first time that that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in September, all we got was I'm concentrating on the San Diego Chargers.
League matter.
You know, it's a league matter. I'm concentrating on the San Diego Chargers. Right now, all I'm concerned about is preparing my football team.
And I agree with what you said.
And I loved what happened the last 3 days.
I agree with what you said. I think we were talking about it yesterday in the office, was that if this had happened a few months ago, we might not be in the situation we're in today.
The Matt Walsh thing may not have happened.
It might not have happened.
The problem is the destroying of the tape brought on Spector. If the tapes hadn't been destroyed, maybe Spector could have looked at the tapes and saw what it was and not worried about it.
Do you think that Spector knew about Matt Walsh before he started making a big stink about it?
No.
I do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he did. I think he was more, hey, how come they destroyed these tapes? Because remember what happened is, you know, after this happened, then there were all these rumors of other things that the Patriots might have done, like wiring up defensive linemen and all this stuff. And that got guys like Spector thinking, well, you know, what happened in our Super Bowl?
Yeah.
You know, and then you add the destroying of the tapes, And it's like, well, what are they hiding?
It smells like a
camera. What are they hiding? That's what true. Else it's, did the Patriots
it does.
Do?
It does smell it.
Yeah,
like
what else did the Patriots do that might have been on those tapes that they destroyed? And then you add Matt Walsh on top of that. Now you got
very
know,
impressive.
Spygate 2.
Very impressive the way the rest of the league sort of rallied around the Patriots there.
Yeah.
Was John on the
John
line all that
up.
Time?
Yeah, he kept trying to break in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, man.
What happened?
I didn't realize that. I thought that he said the last thing, and that was. And then I thought he was off the phone for about
no,
5 minutes.
No, he was there
minutes.
The whole time.
John, I apologize. That's my fault.
When Fred and Paul get going, you just can't. But
I apologize a thousand times to you.
Paul babbles. Ah, la, la,
we weren't
getting so passionate about these things.
We weren't getting going. Nothing. We were just talking.
What's wrong with? I mean, it's radio. You have to talk about this.
Funny,
stuff.
I was trying to reel in Paul, and Fred jumps in.
You know, this isn't fresh air with Toby Gross or whatever it is. Who's that person?
What the heck are you talking
on
about?
On NPR?
Oh, stop it! You know
NPR.
Exactly
you know
what he's
who
talking
it is.
About.
I Terry don't. Gross.
I don't listen to
fresh
NPR.
Fresh air with Terry Gross.
I really don't know what you're talking about.
It's a Bill show Littlefield? On NPR. What?
Isn't
he
it
has
a,
it's only a game.
Oh, okay, there
that's a good show. But he never talks about the NFL.
I took a shot at a show that Fred likes. I'm sorry.
I like Bill Littlefield.
I know Juan Williams from NPR. That's about all I know.
You don't listen to NPR?
No, I don't.
I thought you did.
But I thought it was real impressive the way the league, you know, and you talked about Polian and Herm Edwards and some of those guys, how genuinely
well, the next time it could
appreciative,
be them.
I think.
So it
See,
all
I don't think
around.
It has anything to do with that at all. I think it has to do with, at the time, you know, back in October, I think it was one of those things that was kind of funny.
Right.
Our biggest rival is caught doing something. Let's take advantage of it a little bit. Let's take some shots. Then all of a sudden, 4 months, 5 months, it just won't go away. And I think the rest of the league looked at it and said, all right, this isn't that big a deal. Enough is enough. This is just ridiculous.
Well, once
the
they found
on,
out that Walsh has nothing and there's nothing new after 7 months.
They found that out, huh?
What? Pretty much.
What? Okay. I thought we were still waiting for him to talk and say what
he's
he had.
He's got nothing. He's got nothing.
Well, now there's the John Czarnecki or whatever reports that they didn't even have a walkthrough, that he was
I'm
there.
I'm not buying that.
I'm
either.
Not either.
Why didn't that come out a long time ago?
Plus, why is Mike Martz and Kurt Warner and them all talking about the plays they ran during the walkthrough?
Right. You know, maybe it wasn't a traditional type walkthrough because they did have the stands there for the team picture and there were people all over the place. But
let's be honest.
Know, I think they did do something.
Is on the good ship Patriot and went a little too far defending.
Is he?
His,
is he
oh,
a
yeah.
pro Patriot guy?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that.
Yeah. But I really liked.
Well, he's tight with Jimmy Johnson, which is by 1 degree separation tight with Bill Belichick.
I was really impressed, like I said, with like Polian and Jim Irsay,
Dungy.
Some of those guys, Dungy. You know, like
not
I said,
long ago was joking about that video
but
game.
But that's what I'm talking
well,
about.
The cheating to the Patriots.
But that's what I'm talking about. But then all of a sudden, you know, it kind of lingers and lingers and lingers, and people are talking about suspensions for a year and,
right.
and you know, calling into question the past. You know, enough is enough, and I think the league – and there's definitely an element of what Fred's talking about, too, with, you know, these other teams know they're not all lily white, and they have some dirt under their fingernails, and they know that that's going to come out, too, and – they're probably going to look at it and say, I hope that they afford us the same, you know, forgiveness that we're affording the Patriots right now. And Polian, I think, as Fred said, way over the top.
And we saw some of that at the Combine when Polian came
Polian was pretty adamant there,
he
too.
He was pretty adamant
the
there.
The only difference is at the Combine, it reeked of...
That's what they told you to say.
Yeah, company line, circle the wagons. This is what we were told in the meeting to say. It feels a little bit more honest now. And it might still be the same thing.
Could be.
Maybe they've had a couple months to practice their delivery and seem a little more real. But I'll be honest with you. For the first time ever, I'm sick of Spygate.
Oh,
like, this morning I looked
I've been
at
sick
clips
of it for a
and
long
it says
time.
Goodell intent on getting.
Yeah, which is
I
what
feel
we
like
read
I've read
day.
That story yeah. three times this week, never mind right. over the last 3 months.
Yeah.
Who cares? Unless it says Walsh
Resolution.
And quotes whatever Walsh has to say and show,
right.
I don't care anymore.
Well, the only thing that came out of that, I think, was him not ruling out, if this guy doesn't talk, legally forcing him to talk.
Well, good. Do it.
And get,
yeah,
this
get
thing
it
over
with. Get it,
know?
And the sooner the better.
I'm so sick.
The sooner
of
the
I'm
better.
I'm on board with Andy again. I mean, yeah. that
it,
was...
Seriously,
that,
Eric, it looks like you're like, did is this Groundhog Day? Did I read
this
story yesterday?
Story. Today, that
really,
was a nothing story, and it got
every
national headlines.
Exactly. Day.
All right, on the phone is Anthony in Naples. Anthony, how you doing? Anthony! Wow, he just gave up.
Oh, my God.
You know, what's wrong with our callers?
We've spoiled them. We take them so quickly, they don't know that you call EEI and you're on there for 47 minutes, an hour, waiting to talk to the geniuses.
It's unbelievable.
I just want to apologize again for not realizing that John was on the phone. I would have shut my yap a lot earlier than I did.
Well, John got hosed because I'm not even sure John listens. He just calls.
Yeah. Out in L.A.?
Just yeah. Shut your big yap!
All right, well, that was Anthony in Naples. And earlier,
this is Anthony in Naples again. Gary's on the phone.
Is he on the phone, Gary?
Radio boy, Andy.
Well, if you called it, if you listened to the beginning of the show, you were lucky enough to hear Matt Castle and Wes Welker, which I think was hysterical. We should replay that.
They were good.
Maybe at the end of the show.
Wes,
Gary.
A very dry.
Can we
whip,
do that?
Huh?
Can we replay that interview?
The whole show will repeat throughout the day.
Okay. Well, you know, for
so right. Listen at the top of every 2 hours for the good stuff with Matt Castle.
Is Anthony on the?
No, Matt in San Diego.
Matt in San Diego's on the line. Matt, how are you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Matt.
What's up?
Hey, I've got a couple questions for you real quick about some San Diego State guys that are coming out this year. Obviously, everybody knows Kevin O'Connell.
Love him. Love him. Big time.
Yeah. Amazing. 650 rushing yards this year, 3,000 passing yards. Went and saw him at his pro day at San Diego State, and it looked fantastic. But there's a wide receiver here named Chaz Schillens. I really didn't get a whole lot of notoriety this year because he was injured much of the year. I was wondering if you guys had any tape on him or knew anything about him. It looks like he's probably going to the seventh round. It seems to me like a pretty much a Chad Jackson you can get in the seventh round, maybe a undrafted free agent, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know much about him.
I
certainly didn't watch tape of him. But
yeah, I wasn't sure if you guys had anything maybe on some of the O'Connell tape you had.
Oh, you know what? That's a good point. We probably would do
we
well to
back,
go back
we would.
Go back and look at O'Connell a little
what's
bit
his,
and see if we can
number,
find him.
Matt?
I don't know off the top of my head. Yeah, I know he hit 389 yards in his last two games coming back off that stress fracture. At his pro day, he ran a 4.340, 43-inch vertical. Kid's 6'4", 225. And, man, everything I saw of him at the pro day was just incredible. But obviously, if he was that good in college, obviously a lot more people would know about him.
That's interesting, though, because this is a pretty deep wide receiver class, and there's a lot of guys that could get drafted, and you could see a guy like that sneak under the radar, whether it is as a free agent or
an undrafted free agent with that kind of skill that obviously didn't get drafted because of the injury.
Right.
That's how you...
Trouble with him is just what you just said, Matt, is some people might stumble upon him when they're looking at O'Connell, and that happens. Let's not kid ourselves. They try to say that this is a science and they see every prospect, but there's times when they're watching somebody, they're at a pro day for somebody, and someone else ends up getting drafted because of it, and that could be that scenario.
Right. Obviously, we got some pretty decent receivers in Welker, Moss, obviously. Is there any chance that the Patriots are looking to pick up a late-round wide receiver?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Like Andy said, it's a pretty deep draft, too.
And you could get value there. We know Bill's big on value. And, you know, there's some versatile guys in here. You know, we were joking about with Welker. There's some slot guys, you know, special teamer types that might bounce around as your 5/6 receiver and then earn a role with the team later on. So I do think with the depth of the position that there's going to be some decent receivers drafted on the second day.
I wouldn't rule them out third round. Getting a receiver if they think that there's value there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of interesting prospects. There's this, like I said, the slot guys, the small guys. Then there's some of the, you know, the bigger guys we've seen that have really come into vogue over the last few years. Those 6'4" type, 220-pound guys. There's a lot, and then
there's a few of those.
The speed
too,
burners. There's pretty much everything depending on what you're looking for in this draft.
Great. Guys, I'll double check and get his number for you guys and email that in or whatever.
All right,
thanks, Matt.
Appreciate you guys taking
thanks,
a look at
that.
Thanks, Matt.
We've got our moles on the West Coast doing a little draft
research
for us.
That's good because that's a good idea, too, to look at O'Connell. I didn't know about the receiver at all. So maybe there's a diamond in the rough there.
Paul, on Patriots.com, Patriots Today, yesterday's show, you filled in for Matt Tom, and you did the tight end thing.
Matt Tom.
Patriots Today on yesterday's show, you filled in for Matt Tom. What the hell are you babbling about?
You filled in
for Tom. Tom was out, so he didn't get to do his rundown on tight ends.
You did the tight end, but there was a guy that you talked about. I think it was the second guy on your list.
Martellus Bennett?
Bennett. He, to me, looks more like a big wide receiver.
Yeah, but he also was one of the – I think a lot of these guys look like that, to be honest with you, but – he was one of the few guys on tape that we watched that actually blocked.
Right.
So, you know, you could see some of the skills that, they're looking for. But I agree with you, Fred. I think a lot of this class, I think there's some talent at tight end here. There's no real high end. There's probably no first round picks.
Right.
But I think there's some athletic guys and some guys with some size that have, I thought, deceptive athleticism. And that kid from Tennessee caught him.
Brad caught him. Enormous. Yeah.
That, not a huge receiving threat at Tennessee. He only had like 20 catches. But
he was injured a lot,
but
too,
he moves very well. For I think he's like 6'8".
He's 6'8", 270. And he runs fast.
He runs well. I mean, even the kid Carlson from Notre Dame is, I think, a deceptive athlete. Mm. I think there's some ability there to catch the ball from that position. I just don't know if the Patriots necessarily are looking for a guy to catch the ball as much as they are looking to replace Kyle Brady.
All right. It's 12:42, Gary. That means we have to take a break, and we'll be right back.
4-0 New England. What an opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
What an opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution. BFW in progress. One big, happy family.
Two or three plays last year, it could have gone either way.
Right, and I like to see that come down to the ability.
You like it come down to the ref?
You would like it to come down to nothing.
I'd like it to come down to, did he get 2 feet in? No, it's not a catch.
What's the difference? They got screwed no matter which rule you use.
Not if you were on the other team. You'd think that it was a great call.
Well, it doesn't make it right, though. That's your opinion. I don't think you're wrong. It's just my opinion is that I'd rather have the
really
ref make a, make a call.
I
mean, you don't feel that strongly about anything.
There's a lot more we got to talk about. We're already arguing about this one.
I mean, I like
well,
when
Paul,
the referees have a chance
red
to
in the
make
face over catching a ball in bounds.
I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. I mean, what do you want me to say? I can stop talking about it if that's what you guys want me to
played.
Do.
It's going to be played under
don't
either
rule. Don't say I don't agree strongly about anything because that's bullshit.
Oh,
all right.
You're not supposed to say that, Tom.
See, I'm the one that's getting red in the face, but I'm not the one that's going off swearing about things.
Well, you feel strongly things here, but when you go on the real big show, you don't feel strongly.
That's
about
a whole
anything.
Different set of arguments. You can be the big tough guy that you like to paint yourself as, so all the readers write in and say, "Oh, Big Tom is a tough guy."
I can't help they like me.
That scab just got scratched off. All right,
absolutely, absolutely. A little underlying hostility there, or what? Okay. I mean, I'm sorry if some of that rubs you the wrong way, but I don't just go spouting off at the, flying off at the hip all the time.
That's
fine.
Style.
That's your
fine.
Style. You can do whatever way you want. So part of the reason why no one talks to us, by the way.
Oh!
Now back to the guys. And that's no bullshit.
Oh.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Wow. That's good stuff. Radio gold, as they say. Speaking of radio gold, if you missed the beginning of the show, we had Wes Welker on with Matt Castle, and the two of these guys should be a comedy team. I mean, they're good.
They should be regulars on our show.
So if you missed that, we're going to replay the show again, obviously, or you can download the show and have it forever on your little iPod. So.
This is John Hanna, Patriot Hall of Famer. Download the podcast now.
There you go.
Hey, I'm... okay.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Hall of Famers, we got to talk about something.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. That's right.
The wings Uh-oh. At Bass Pro are overrated, Fred.
Well,
you led us astray.
No, I, you know what? I have to admit that lately they haven't been cooking them long enough. When they first started, now it might have been a health reason.
Do the chickens have large talons?
A safety hazard because I actually burned my tongue to the point where it bled. But
I don't really get that. Still,
I don't understand.
You
that
could
either.
Wait till it cools down a little.
No,
and
I
was,
can't.
And there was nothing cold about the wings that we
no,
had.
No, but they didn't. They weren't crispy enough. See, lately right. they haven't been crisp. You know, they need to like double fry them or something, because before they were a little crispy on the inside, but nice and moist on the.
I didn't think
the
they
inside,
were. Under, I don't know how
the outside.
Felt. I didn't think they were undercooked.
I didn't think they were undercooked.
And
they
it just
weren't.
Isn't crisp like it was
they were,
before.
Well,
were,
I think if
they were
cooked
average,
longer, they'd probably be crispier.
But they were,
and it just isn't
average,
crisp
run of
the
mill
like
wings. They weren't bad.
Kind of fatty.
They weren't bad.
Well, they were
just average wings.
So they have to crisp them up. Like they were when they first opened the restaurant.
Have a crisp outside.
Yeah, but no, I told you the last time I went,
I
was a little disappointed,
if you
right? Soft or hard or whatever.
But we did have an opportunity. Andre Tippett came over and joined us for lunch, and we had a great
what did he have?
Great afternoon.
And the
he had
and
a couple
just
of wings.
Crisp
had,
like it was before.
Pastrami.
Pretty much.
The pastrami sandwiches,
I think,
great.
I thought the pastrami was good. Andy thought it was terrible.
I had a turkey and provolone with the honey mustard. That was a good sandwich, actually.
What do we have?
The Patriot.
The Hunter.
It's good. It's good.
Andy just doesn't like anything.
Yeah. I didn't think the fries were good.
Fries were excellent there, yeah.
And the waitress, tremendous. Ugh. I had, you know, a quarter of a cup left of soda, and I had already had a new one waiting. She, tremendous.
That's good. I don't think Ben Watson is a cheap tipper. I think your girlfriend probably gave
And the best part was, you know, because we are the PFW boys, is Tippett picked up the check.
Yeah.
Wow. Hall of Famer.
And he entertained us for a good
I mean,
half.
How many people
great,
can say that they had stories. Lunch bought for them by a Pro Football Hall of Famer?
This is Andre Tippin. That's not what we're looking for.
I might have to put that on my resume. That's
I was trying cool. to get him yeah. to buy me a Cub Cadet four-wheel drive dump truck
yeah,
thing on
was
the way out.
Cool.
What do you think of the
pretty
store,
cool.
though? Pretty impressive, though.
Yeah, we just kind of walked
overwhelming.
Very much overwhelmed.
It took us 15 minutes to get down to the place.
And
we're
idiots.
The hell it was.
We don't know anything about that stuff. There was a fishing lure that was about 2.5 feet
well,
long.
Those are for design only.
Yeah, well, it took us 10 minutes to decide, is that for a real fish or is that just
We walked over and immediately Andy goes, that's not real. That's a decoration. And I think Eric and I immediately agreed with them. But then we were looking at it, and we were kind of like looking at the box. We just wanted to make sure.
And looking at the size of the store and the stuff that's hanging all over the place, you figure, well, maybe, you know.
I didn't know if maybe some people catch really big fish with really big lures.
On really big rods.
Yeah, well, you know. Well. Wes Welker's got a big.
See now?
Third leg.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. We did talk. Excuse me.
I was watching his face. He was holding that. I haven't
I haven't even eaten yet, and I'm already burping. But
that's the problem. It's just Pepsi in your belly.
We talked a little bit about the rule changes, the 2 foot versus 1 foot in, and I thought it was interesting. Two offensive guys, a quarterback and a wide receiver, like the 2 foot rule. Mm-hmm. They'd rather have 2 feet in than 1 foot in, as it is in college, and they think it kind of makes it more of a skilled type of achievement. I thought that was an interesting perspective. I hadn't thought of it that way.
It is, and I think that's fine for them to look at it that way, but I'm just looking at it as I think Moss would make ridiculous catches that would show you he's the best on the planet if he only had to get 1 foot in, because now he can be further from way out of bounds and just tap a toe in. And so I think no matter what, he's going to prove that he's the best athlete on the planet.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what else is there that you want to talk about today?
In regards to
anything,
I had a nice chat with Fernando Bryant a little earlier this morning.
Oh, okay.
First,
getting to know Fernando
in his first interview since joining the team. Can I bill it as that? I haven't seen him quite
in a wide ranging.
It was a wide ranging
first
interview.
Was it? Was it like the Gaffney one the other day? Was it that
not
wide ranging?
Quite as wide ranging.
I'll tell you what. If you're able to work in a wide ranging interview and speaking for the first time since signing as as a Patriot. I won't. I'll promise you this. I won't take him out. I can't promise what Fred would do. I won't take him out.
But I found it interesting. I asked him about his style, and he talked about being a guy that is a consistent guy. He even said, "Hey, I'm a system cornerback," which I thought was funny because Asante Samuel, some people were spinning as a system cornerback. But what he meant was, whatever the system tells me to do, I'm going to do it.
Right, which, yeah, I mean, you had told me that upstairs. He's not necessarily meaning that, I think, the way that Patriots fans will take that. But he's saying, whatever the system is, I can play in it.
And he admitted he's, you know, sort of in that line of veteran guys coming here to win a ring. And he's had the money. He was a first-round pick. Detroit, all that. He's looking. Had some nice things to say about
I hear it, but I never heard the song before.
What is it?
Fernando.
Oh, you've heard this before. This is, who sings like this? ABBA, right?
Oh, nah, see, never heard this before in my life.
I like ABBA, but I don't know this
you've
song.
You've heard this song. When they get to the chorus, you'll know it.
All right, Gary, get to the chorus. Fast forward.
Fernando.
Right, exactly.
I never heard this song.
You've heard this.
You've heard it.
Yes, come on.
Okay.
Paul's being stubborn again.
I've definitely never heard it.
You've never heard it?
You can't possibly be surprised that Andy's never heard it.
No.
I can understand you. This is my
I've
era.
I've heard of it.
You know, I like, you know, that.
I'm very surprised you haven't heard.
Don't know what they sing, but what do they sing?
Dancing Queen.
Oh, Dancing Queen, your song.
All right, let's get to some email, shall we? At webradio@patriots.com. Do you have something to read, Paul?
Yeah, well, Gary, you know, we're talking about the seating, which they tabled. But Gary's right. When Matt Castle throws the ball away on purpose for the purposes of playoff seating, it wouldn't have mattered.
That's right.
But. And now it still will.
Let's see.
How about Matt Castle going down the Spygate road on, you know, unsolicited?
Well, I thought it was funny that he went down the I'm going to get cut road unsolicited.
He's pretty funny.
It was funny the thought process, though, because he was trying to address it without saying it, and then he was.
I was going to take a shot at him, but we're not really, like, friendly.
Yeah, we don't know.
When he said.
He starts coming on once a week, maybe.
Right. He said. You know, back in the offseason program, I really like working out and lifting and stuff. And I'm thinking, that's good because that's all the only thing you've ever done for like the past 10 years. You haven't
otherwise,
played.
You'd really hate your job.
Right. Because when the season starts and everybody gets to have the fun on Sunday, you don't.
I don't know. It's still a pretty good job as jobs go.
Picking up
backup quarterback in the NFL.
Balls. No pun intended.
That was pretty funny.
That was very.
They jumped all over that.
Yes.
The whole Brady thing.
Well, and there's clearly some good. Good-natured ribbing of Will McDonough.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he left to be Brady's full-time
guy. Probably did. But he's not here anymore.
But I think that's what they're saying, that he's in New York
that wouldn't
now,
be
and then
funny.
During the season he'll be here. So who knows? He'll probably be here during
what do we
the season,
got? Though. Andy, what is this? Oh, wow. This is on the web already. Andy Hart proclaims the wings at Bass Pro overrated. Fries were good. Waitress tremendous. Best part, Tippett picked up the check.
with?
That's on
Stripper's blog, I'm assuming.
That's on the Sooners blog.
Oh, That's where you can search Andy Hart and Catherine Tappan.
That's also where you can search Andy Hart says Darren McFadden will be out of the league within 5 years.
I bet you they're on board with me there. He's no Adrian Peterson. That's disrespectful
well,
to
that's
Adrian
not
Peterson.
What you said Mark yesterday.
Tape, McFadden
you said he'd be out of the league
and
in 5 years.
Will not be a great pro and will not be in the league in 5 years. And I stand by all of it. Did you know Brian Holloway? Yeah. Ask this guy. I got no stones. Is serving as the spokesman for a $2 million car.
What?
The celebrity spokesman.
It was. I found this news item yesterday.
The Damari? The Damasi?
I forgot what it was called, but it's some ridiculously expensive car.
1,200 horsepower V16.
And the
what?
But the funniest thing about it is he's been promoted in the press release announcing this thing. He's billed as
a futurist, right?
He's billed as New England Patriots All Pro Super Bowl 20 captain Brian Holloway.
Yeah, now Brian Holloway is out of control.
Just so you know, when you read the write up about him, they do a great job. He sounds like he should be our next president. I mean, has consulted and advised 250 of 500 Fortune 500 companies.
Where'd you see that? Email me that.
I'll send you the link. Send you the link.
$2 million car.
Something like something
it's
ridiculous. Maybe it's not $2 million, but
no,
something.
It's $2 million.
Was it $2
million? It's a $2 million luxury. It's sort of like that Maybach thing where it's got speed and power, but it's also designed as like a mobile office or something.
And there's only what, like a small number of them, obviously.
Well, I don't think there's any yet. I think they want to build them, and they're looking for people to buy them.
Well, I heard that Bose teamed up with some car company, and they're going to create like 400 cars that have this new Bose stereo in it and everything like that. But it's not $2 million. It's more like $200,000.
It's Ferrari they're doing.
Ferrari,
they're putting it in some model Ferrari to test it out. Because it's the whole idea was Bose doesn't make radios and navigation systems. They just put their nameplate on some other
they
product.
They might make the speaker or something.
Now they're actually going into making the entire system.
Right, right.
So
they're hoping that if it takes off with these 400 cars, and it'll trickle down to more the average consumer.
Right. Brian Holloway? I mean, that's the best you can get for a $2 million car.
I got a thing from him once, probably 8 years ago. You know, Brian Holloway, futurist, motivational speaker.
I remember that. I remember you showed me that. I do remember that.
Con artist?
The motivational speaker part of it.
Yeah, kind of. He's out there.
But, yeah, wouldn't you think for a car that expensive, for that high-end of clientele,
you need, like Tom Brady.
Like David Beckham or
Tiger
Woods.
But that's why I think it's a little shady. While everything on the site sounded good about the car maker, about Brian, I mean, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something's up.
Yeah, it doesn't. Not all the pieces come together. I just don't see it working.
All right.
But I'd like to have the company write my resume because they are phenomenal.
Either that or he wrote the resume. And Holloway.
Well, but it sounds good. He's got quotes. I assume the quotes are real. He's got like the Boston Globe, the Wall Street Journal, all the.
Was he ducking bullets in Basra?
He's got ball washing Bill Walsh quoted in there. A leader of
Bosnia.
Men, he
calls
Bosnia. All right.
But yeah, I see where you were going. That's good.
Okay. Kieran in Ireland says there's been a lot of talk about the rule changes so far this offseason. I really like getting rid of the force out rule. I'm sorry to disappoint lard ass Perillo. Anyway, if you guys could change one rule, what would it be and why?
Lard ass.
So if you could change one rule, what would it be and why? And before he says anything, no, Eric, you can't suggest grown men playing in their underpants. Now, why do you know?
Yeah, listen to this.
I know you guys want to get rid of the interference rule. You want to change that.
Well, I think it'd be nice to have it be a 15-yard penalty. That's all.
I'm not passionate about anything. This is former President George H.W. Bush describes Holloway as, quote, a man of character. I'm proud to be part of his resume. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell says Holloway was raised to be a leader among his peers. I mean, he's got this, like, incredible...
Wow.
Hundreds of companies, including Apple, HP, Verizon, AIG, ITT, Walmart, Ford, ESPN, Chase, Bank of America, have hired Holloway to teach about commitment, crisis management, overcoming adversity, and thriving in a rapidly changing business environment.
He's the Today Show. Three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP.
Brings a billion-dollar marketing platform to the table.
What?
But do you remember him being a captain in Super Bowl 20?
No. Neither did a guy he played with.
No.
I'm not saying who.
I don't believe
we may have had lunch yesterday.
Wow.
Well, that's how it came up. Is he asked us, "Do you guys remember him being a captain?"
Right. And I was seven.
Interesting. All right.
But it's, Andy doesn't even know the game took place.
Since you're loaded and you might want to consider one of these, it's Demora Motor Car. Demora Motor Car.
That's Demora.
And that's the name of the company that
that's the company, and it's the $2 million Natalia SLS2.
And what does it do for $2 million?
It's a sports luxury sedan. It's I told you, it's got 1,200 horsepower, V16 engine, and generous room for the driver.
Okay.
I would think $2 million would get me more. I would think $2 million would get me a house with generous room for me to live in.
Right.
That thing better, you know.
And a commode.
If that thing doesn't hurt you, it ain't worth it.
You sure that's not an April Fool's joke? Was that on April 1st, that story?
It was yesterday, I believe.
Okay. Well, you read it yesterday, but was it posted on April 1st?
April 2nd, Palm Springs, California.
Okay.
Auto Spectator.
I suppose it is possible, though.
Yeah.
Anything's possible.
It just, but it doesn't, but I, it's I not mean, funny.
But given what you said, Fred...
Oh, yeah. It's, there's no humor here at all. You know what I mean? No one cares about Brian Holloway.
Like,
so
do you remember
like,
the April Fool's? You know, like a lot of companies do April Fool's. Did you remember when Burger King, this years and years ago, Andy, I'm sure you won't remember it, but they came out with a left-handed Whopper? Like, that's funny. That's a funny April Fool's joke. This is no humor in it, even if you say, oh, I'm just kidding. Where's the punchline?
Very funny, you guys.
All right, let's see. Shane in Miami says, why do so many mock drafts have the Patriots taking Liotis McKelvin or Cromartie at the 7th pick? Do these bonehead sports writers really think that Bill and Scott will take one of these guys that high? I know mock drafts are for fun, but at least try to make an intelligent forecast. Also, I remember last draft, Alan Branch and Brady Quinn were two big fallers. Who do you think could fall 20 or so draft spots this year?
Well, the obvious guy is Matt Ryan.
I was just going to say Matt Ryan. I know that's probably not popular.
Vary tremendously on Matt Ryan, where he could go.
Plus, that position lends itself because most teams aren't looking to draft a quarterback in the first round.
Mark Tape, McFadden stinks. Darren McFadden, why not? People could be scared away from him. I'll go with it. Guy goes down like a freaking dead piece of grass in the backfield.
I'm also going to say that
I've fallen. And I can't get up.
I agree with the emailer, and you know we've talked about. I don't think that McKelvin or Rogers Cromartie, these guys are worth taking in the top 10.
No.
However, there seems to be an underlying theme that these people don't know what they're talking about because Bill would never take a cornerback at 7. Right. I think that's nonsense. I think if Bill thought the guy was worth taking there, he'd take him. I don't care about position.
Right. You can make an argument for anything, but to just say it's stupid to even think that it's.
I mean, there's
a lot of factors that would make you say he's not going to want to take a corner. First of all, he's going to have to pay the corner almost what he would have had to pay Asante Samuel, so why didn't he pay Asante Samuel?
Right.
Secondly, most people say that the top corner is the 15th best prospect
in the
draft.
That, to me, is the number one
but
overlying factor.
You have to take somebody. You can't just laugh and say, oh, they'll trade down. Well, you know, what if they can't trade down?
It looks like these mock drafts have fallen into the trap of, oh, well, they lost Asante Samuel, Randall Gay, Eugene Wilson. They're going to have to go with a defensive back without putting any other thought into
it's
it.
Crazy.
It's just the easy way out.
It's crazy.
But to be fair, they did lose Eugene Wilson, Randall Gay, and Asante
Samuel.
Sure,
I know, but
they might
still
have to draft a corner.
But maybe not at number seven.
They know better, the Patriots. They don't do, you know, they don't.
I'll keep that in mind if I hear Dominic Rogers Cromartie, Tennessee State.
I'll be shocked.
I'm going to be surprised because I don't think the guy is that good. I'm not going to be surprised if they take a cornerback that they think is that good.
Right. Yeah, that's
the only point I'm trying to make.
If they think Kaysen is the guy and they want to pick him, fine. Sure.
I'm not going to be surprised if they take any position because I think we've been trained enough over the years with Bill to know there are no wrong answers.
Right.
There are no things that he quote-unquote won't do.
But like you said, I'd just be surprised if they think those guys are that good.
That's what I would be a little bit surprised, that we could be that off in our evaluation. That's all.
Who's that on the phone right now?
Hi, this is Christina Acker from Patriots Today.
Yeah, Claude.
Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I can't believe you're actually playing this music.
Today's word, in light of our little discussion to open the show after the superstars left the building, Spygate. That's Spygate.
Uh-oh.
And it really is in
it
there.
It really is.
And it's a term referring to the scandal surrounding the New England Patriots when they were caught filming the New York Jets defensive signals, blah, blah, blah. And then it even has used in a sentence, Joe, the Patriots are only good because they cheat. Spygate proves they can't win without cheating. Tim, are you retarded? Have you seen how they played since then? Do you think they needed an advantage against the Jets? Besides, every team does it, but the Pats got caught. Joe, You're right.
Good.
But this is really from Urban Dictionary.
Wow.
All right.
Fred, good.
That's amazing.
Our next email comes from a fellow, I think, named Elgidio from Pontchartrain, Louisiana. Did I say that right?
Pontchartrain.
I'm guessing it's Elgidio.
Pontchartrain?
Yeah, but I'm guessing the guy's name is Elgidio. Just
not Elgidio?
How do you spell it?
E-L-G-I-D-I-O. E-L-G-I-D-I-O.
I'm not positive on that. I'm just guessing the G is silent, but that's just me.
Okay.
How about some... Elgidio. Email us a... pronunciation clarification.
And how do you
where
say
from?
Pontchartrain?
Pontchartrain.
Pontchartrain. That's where...
have I heard of that?
That's the name of the lake.
That's the lake that Marquise Hill was died in last summer, last spring.
Really dragging us down, Paul.
I'm just saying that's why you heard of that name.
Anyway,
true, but...
As Paul would say, Hideo, says, I am an LSU...
That's not what I said, but that's okay.
Hideo. I am an LSU grad. I am an LSU grad, so I'm a little biased, but I don't see how somebody could pass up on Glenn Dorsey in this draft. The guy is amazing. I've watched most of his games, and he causes havoc on almost every play. How is this guy not the number one overall pick? Whoever takes Chris Long over Dorsey needs to have their head examined. This guy is a stronger version of Warren Sapp. If he falls to the Patriots, I will be partying on Bourbon Street all night. I think Parcells would be crazy not to take him, regardless of what defensive system they run. What do you guys think?
I don't think he'll be available at 7. That's
no,
sure.
I don't either. And it's the injury concerns. It's all this talk of this bone stimulator that he was wearing 18 hours a day. And that's an issue when you're investing
sure.
40, 50, $60 million in a guy up at the top of the draft. And, you know, we say every little thing can hurt you. Well, when you're talking about a 315-pound defensive lineman, his legs, you know, they're kind of important to him. So, I mean, that's the issue with him. I don't think there's any – there's no character issues. There's no real skill issues. I mean, everybody thinks the guy can play.
Now, this means absolutely nothing in terms of where the guy's going to go. But we every year, Fred, we do the writer's mock draft. And Glenn Dorsey was chosen third by Atlanta after Chris Long and Jake Long. So Dorsey was the third pick overall. And the gentleman I spoke to works for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. His name is Steve Weish.
That's our boy from the Combine.
We knew him from the Combine.
And his comment was that, don't forget Thomas Dimitroff is there now running the show. They will use the Patriots model of trying to build from the inside and up front first and then worry about getting the quarterback later. They do definitely have a huge need at quarterback, but they want to put the pieces in place to protect him before they worry about getting him.
Okay.
So, well, just a little.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean they're going to take him. It's just
Makes
one writer's opinion.
Makes sense. Trent from Albany, New York. You are the Patriots, and you're on the clock. Who do you take with the following guys available? First, Chris Long, Glenn Dorsey, or Vernon Golston?
Golston.
Yeah.
Okay. Two, Cedric Ellis, Keith Rivers, or Ryan Clady?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Ryan Clady.
I like Rivers on that group.
I think I'll go with Clady, too.
Okay. And then finally, Keith Rivers, Chris Long, or Jake Long?
Keith Rivers.
Chris Long.
Hands down.
Yeah, I probably Chris Long, but I like Rivers, too. I really like Rivers. I think he's going to be a good player.
By the way, tell Tom that I hope Paul kicks his fat guinea ass. Fred,
so you can say
make fun of Italians.
You can make fun That's of right. Italians.
Fred, bring back
Even
Brian
when they're
Maury.
Asking me to kick somebody's
right.
butt.
Yeah.
Bring
Stop
back Hank. Brian Maury and send this clown back to the streets where he belongs, kissing loan shark ass, or he can be Oliver Hoyt's personal little bitch. You're a punker, Sally. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's this guy's from Albany, so yes. he might know.
Yeah,
him.
He has issues with
no,
Tom.
No, he's biased because Tom said Albany sucked.
Right, yeah.
Another one that loves him. Anyway, I would not want to fight Tom.
You're a punker, Sally. Well, you'd have to stay away from him once he got his mitts on you.
No, I don't care about that. I think we've established the fact that I'm a little bit of a crazy nut job and delusional, and if I get mad enough, I don't care who I fight.
No, I know, but once he got you in a bear hug,
I think he's a lot bigger than I am, no question. But if I fought him, I would feel, no matter how well I did, that it ain't ever going to be over until he decides it's over. And, like, I could be on top of him, pounding him, and say, all right, he's had enough, walk away, and all of a sudden I got a lead pipe in the back of my head.
And it wouldn't be that day either. It might be, like, 3 weeks later.
But that's what I'm talking about. I'd be very, very, very afraid.
In the parking lot.
I'd be very afraid to get in any kind of altercation with him.
I can't believe I'm talking to Tom Fuseli.
Let's see, TG and Joyzy, what's the end game here when it comes to, I think, Walsh? Does Walsh ever speak up? In your astute opinions, what does he really have, if anything? Or will this fade away, unresolved, forever to hang in the balance, becoming another of many contributors to the early demise of one Fred Kirsch? Assuming he has nothing and it's all a bunch of BS, do Kraft and the Patriots seek litigation against Tomasi and the Herald? Or will that be Fred's job once he's done with the restaurant business? How does this work? Is Tomasi even allowed on the premises? Does the team just not answer questions from Herald reporters? If you guys have no qualms telling us about your personal grooming habits and errant bodily functions, you could at least give us some insight into what your peers think about the Herald and Tomasi's day before the Super Bowl article, and if there should, could, or would be some repercussions from the organization.
The selfish jerk.
Well, there already have been repercussions for Tomasi. No one talks to him.
No one talks to him. But I don't think legally.
And don't plan on talking to him.
I don't think legally there will be any repercussions. And in fact, one of our emailers, I didn't get into the email because it's a little long, but Joel from Merrimack, New Hampshire, gives us a whole write up of what it takes to prove a libel case. And it would be very hard for the Patriots to say that Tomasi wrote what he wrote with malice.
Right.
Or that even Walsh said what he said. With malice. So
burden of proof is on the plaintiff.
It really is. Those are very tough cases to choose.
And now, but that wouldn't, in Walsh's case, that wouldn't be satisfying to him to come out and say whatever he wants to say, because it doesn't matter to him that he very well could win any lawsuit. It'd be the process of going through it that I think he's trying to avoid.
But you know what? From a Patriots standpoint, from a Patriots fan standpoint, you want to find out what this guy claims to have, says he knows, whatever. You need to get that for this to be over. Because if you don't, it's always going to be there. It's always going to be a little cloud hanging maybe in the back of someone's mind, but it's always going to be there. Unless he gets his chance to say something, anything, talk once. All he has to do is talk one time, get it out there, whatever he has, then it can be over. But until then, I don't think it's going to be
over. No, it's not going to be over.
TG started that email off with the come on, guys, give us the poop, in parentheses. Not you, Andy. that was funny.
But, I mean, Tomasi's going to go about doing his job, and he's probably going to keep trying to.
Well,
I mean, he really didn't get much respect before this thing because of what the Herald did in the
through
inside
no fault,
track.
Through no fault of his,
right.
But now it's his fault.
Right.
So I think that changes things. I actually think that the end game here is he's not going to be covering the Patriots next
year. No, he'll be – not because the Patriots – asked to, he
oh,
just,
no.
he just
it's
won't
impossible
become,
for him to do his job.
Exactly.
Right.
He won't become effective anymore.
His boss will understand the circumstances and move him to a different
lead. Paul, this could be your opening back at the Herald.
No, what they'll, first of all, I wouldn't go. Second of all, they would switch guys. My guess is that somebody covering the Red Sox would cover the Patriots and somebody in Tomasi would go and
well, the last time anything like this came close was Felger when he called Jeremy Jacobs a liar and Jacobs, I guess he...
That now in that one, I can tell you with certainty because I was working at the Herald at the time. They did the Bruins did in fact.
Yeah, they wanted him off.
Openly request his removal from the beat.
Yeah,
and they threatened a lawsuit and said that if their demands were met, they would drop the lawsuit. And that demand was in no uncertain terms that he is not to cover our team anymore. And the Herald acquiesced.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Tony Maserati from the Boston Herald.
And he actually got a promotion by getting on the Patriots beat.
Yeah.
And
look
what it did for him.
Springboarded him into a career of radio,
because
TV,
if he,
and print.
If he was still on that Bruins beat all this time,
oh,
with all these irrelevant Bruins teams that they've had, you wouldn't know this whole
purgatory or even lower.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
You know what I found out, too? I've been watching the last 2 or 3 weeks, as the Bruins are coming down the stretch. I've actually, believe it or not, watched some Bruins games. Jack Edwards, who is the play-by-play guy for the Bruins, he's like worse than Tommy Heinsohn.
Oh,
it's unbelievable.
Being a homer?
No, I mean, who knew? I mean, no one
excuse.
Knew.
No excuse. No excuse. I let Heinsohn off because he played and he coached.
And he's the color guy.
Right. But even more than that, even if he's the play-by-play guy, you know who he is. He can't, leave that hat at the door all those years.
I love Walter!
Right.
Jack Edwards is just a reporter, right? He was a reporter in this town.
Yeah,
he left,
he was.
Back.
Yep.
Yep. Yes, now he's back
locally. A national
locally,
guy. I mean, he's a local guy, but
he went national and
he came back.
He knows better.
Hey,
really, really
speaking of
unabashed
that,
homer.
We'd be remiss if we didn't at least comment on you know, really a Boston icon, being asked to and given a buyout, Bob Lobel.
What's the deal with that?
I mean, that, you know, as far as, you know, Andy, as far as you've been alive, he's been Channel 4's guy.
Yep.
You know?
And I know one person who's upset, my mother. She loves him.
Really?
She loves him.
I mean, is this a, you know?
I got to be honest with you. I haven't seen a local sportscast.
Oh, God.
In at least 10
no,
years.
No, you don't watch those
anymore.
That's
why Bob Lobels and guys that make money are being
rushed out.
And
you don't need to pay that much money anymore, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you wonder what it's going to mean for Mike Lynch, because he seems to be the only one of that old guard left.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, John Dennis has moved on. Now Lobel has moved on.
Yeah. 30 years? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
it's time.
No, well, I think it would have been time anyway.
Right.
But
yeah. No one's going to shed any tears for the guy. I mean, he's a good guy. Yeah. Bob Lobel's a nice guy.
Oh yeah.
He's had a very, very good career, successful, long, lucrative career.
Sure.
No one's going to lose any sleep over it. But it is, I guess what it spurs is, and I don't know if anybody cares about this on our show, but you know, the whole direction of where the media is headed. You know, and like you guys said, no one's going to be watching sportscasts at 6 o'clock anymore. You don't have to do that.
No.
You know, newspapers and all these other sources of information, you wonder, you know, where the direction goes and how do you find a way to stay relevant. It's not easy.
The only way I think local sportscasters or local news organizations that want to do sports can be relevant or be successful is covering high school sports. Because you're not tuning in at 6 o'clock or 6:15, 6:20 to find out how the Patriots did today, how the Celtics did. You can get that, like you said, Paul. You can get that anywhere. If they want to really attract an audience, hit close to home.
But only moms and cousins.
It's just not big enough
watches
audience.
Local news.
I know, but
that flies
in Rhode Island and it doesn't work in the big city.
The radius of people Dartmouth. Interested in that segment then becomes about 10 miles.
Right.
And you just can't get sponsors for that type of audience.
And it's a radius that changes because
One
time it's this high school,
exactly.
The next time it's the next.
It's just not a moneymaker, you know. But you're right. What they have to do is they have to not just focus on TV. They have to focus on online and you know, send the info to you, whether it's, you know, little devices that you can download from their website and put on your site, so any local breaking news or sports news goes right to, you know, they have to be a little bit more clever about how to use this new media. They can't just focus on TV because, like Paul said, I can't remember the last time I watched 4, 5, or 7's sportscast from 6 to 7.
I don't even watch the news.
Yeah.
I get it from the newspaper.
It's a bigger thing for the TV.
Yeah.
I think the issue is they face an issue we sometimes face as the paper of record, in that we have to have the news in our paper, but especially in the off season, it could be late. If they sign a guy one day after the last issue came out, the story that we have in the next issue is kind of... So are they there for 2.5 minutes or 3 minutes to tell you that the Red Sox won last night 4-3, or do they focus all their energy on doing features and sports-related things, but... Do they have an obligation because they're the 6 o'clock news to spend time on telling you the news? So are they a featurey? Are they? Because I think people would watch if they knew every night I'm going to get a nice feature on Manny. You know, if there's something that's new and they're interested in. But then are they not fulfilling their duty as the news to give the scores and highlights?
And they don't have time because you know,
can't do both.
You look at it. You look at the news now, and besides the car commercials, what's one of the biggest advertisers industries? Pharmaceuticals. It's always Boniva or this. It's all pills. So is there any wonder why a lot of these features are, you know, health-type features, you know? And they have these things because their biggest advertisers are the pharmaceutical companies, because the audience is now older people that watch these news. It's like people over 50. No, you know, people our age. Or my age, I don't know, Paul, but no, I'm not kidding. But, you know, we don't sit down and watch the news from 6 to 7 anymore.
Yeah, that's why I do think that it's and Andy made a great point, because you have to figure out what you are. And I heard they were talking about it yesterday on EEI, and Jerry Callahan made the comment of it's the constant search to find to write about something, to talk about something or whatever that no one else knows. That you know, it's not necessarily breaking news, but find an angle that hasn't already been discussed, analyzed or whatever. That's ridiculously
that's really hard
to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot harder for the TV stations, because at least the newspaper, there's an element of our generation, Fred, that even when the internet age, and you're a computer guy, I'm not, but there's still an element of people that like to open the newspaper, get their coffee, get a bagel in the morning, and start their routine that way. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's that much of an element of people that sit down at 6:22 at night and say, I got to watch my evening sports on TV,
right,
on the evening news. Everybody knows about it. You know, I think it's much less in terms of that than it is for newspapers. And newspapers, believe me, are feeling the crunch. And you joked around with me, Fred. That's a number one reason why I wouldn't go back.
I wouldn't go back.
And I'm not lying about that. If they asked me right now, I would not go back.
It's not sure footing. All right, it's 1:22. That means we have to take a break. We'll be right back.
4-0 New England. What an opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at Patriots extra points.com.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Gang's all here, minus Tom. Tom taking care of some business back home.
And minus Wes Welker and Matt Castle.
We'll be back next week. But, thanks for reminding me, Eric. If you did miss Matt Castle and Wes Welker beginning of the show, definitely download the show or tune in at 2.
That's
for the replay,
point,
because
Eric,
that was well worth 10 minutes well worth spent in your life.
Oh, yeah, they were good. Mm-hmm. We should try to get them on more often.
Yeah, we should.
Let's work on that, Gary.
Fred, there's a new player available. We should price,
Chris Henry.
Chris in the bud. Yeah, you interested?
No. Chris Henry released by the Bengals. Once again, in trouble with the law, this time arrested. And Bengals just said, that's enough.
Right. Punched some kid in the face or something?
Yeah, smashed his windshield, punched him. He was, I guess, trying to claim mistaken identity or different.
You really got to applaud Cincinnati, though. You know, they said the eighth arrest is enough. Enough is enough
right
now.
Right. Marvin Lewis really cracking down now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Dan at Fairfax says, Paul is officially no longer allowed to make any gay jokes about Eric, seriously, Paul, you like ABBA? That's the most disappointing thing I've heard since Andy crying at his wedding.
I like all 70s disco music.
Now, hold on a second. I got to stand up for Andy here. He cried at his wedding. What do you? If a guy's going to cry in his life, that's a good place to do it. I'm not going to give him any help for that.
Yeah, but he was crying because he was sad.
Oh, is that it? Yeah.
Let's groove tonight.
Plus, I didn't cry. A little See, choked up.
I can sing it because Gary's not in there.
Why did you cry?
I just said I didn't cry. I got a little choked up.
Well, that's crying.
I don't know. Women in the office say that you bawled your eyes out.
Maybe I was emotional. No. Ask this guy. I got no emotional. Stones. Kind of a big day in my life, you know. No. Ask this guy. I got no stones. Yeah, that too.
Frank writes in, have you ever thought about the new guy in the office? The guy that's been there less than a year experience with the company under their belt. These guys usually screw up something by doing the wrong thing or not doing anything when they should. Remember, not every man can be as faultless and fluid as Paul the Natural Perillo or command the respect and love of father figure Fred Kirsch. Eventually, however, the rookies figure it out, and surprisingly, they start to make a real contribution. The NFL is no different. Whatever you get early on is a plus, and beware of teams that start too many rookies. They are begging for trouble. I think that's why it's so important for the Pats to have a good upcoming draft. Your core group, Brady, Moss, etc., will get you into the playoffs, but you need that extra unexpected contribution from the new blood to do well later on. Witness Jeremy Shockey's replacement and several other giant draft selections. So my thinking of the draft has changed. The draft is not solely hype. When the grind of NFL toughness wears on the veterans' bodies, the rookies can really shine. That's Frank in Winnipeg. So,
Winnipeg, do we have a marker on there for Winnipeg?
Oh yeah, we're big in Winnipeg.
Do we?
Paul calls it Lose-a-peg.
But I think, you know, Belichick has always kind of had the same philosophy. Every one of these guys have to contribute. 1 to 53.
Except last year. Oh, I thought you meant the draft picks.
You know, well, if you're a draft pick and you make the team, you got to contribute in some way.
Well, generally, a team that is very successful is going to get contributions from top to bottom on the roster. I mean,
but that's
what happens.
Necessarily mean you expect the guy to come in and start, or
right.
I mean,
no.
You might project him as a year two guy or whatever.
You know, how many times you hear, you know, Bill says it's not even about the 53; it's more closer to 65. 60 and 65.
That 65 man cut.
And
all those guys are going to play this year.
Right, and you hear like the Red Sox talk about, look, you know, we know we're not going to go through the season with a five-man rotation. We know we're going to need 6, 7, 8 guys, and, you know, it's going to end up being closer to 35 than 25. That's just good teams that ultimately have success. They have to do it with the whole roster.
Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire says, okay, guys, I'm listening to the Tuesday show, and once again the issue of Andy's incontinence bubbles up. Here's the plan.
I never brought it up.
Either Tom convinces Andy to give the man wipes a try, or perhaps Andy,
whoa.
In a fit of squirting depression, purchases a lifetime supply of sham wows and shapes them into a makeshift sham diapers to cover this up. Paul, still red in the face from his tiff with Tom, continues yelling into the microphone, I totally agree with anyone but Tom, or no, Fred, you're missing my point, or his all-time favorite, I never said that.
I never said that.
In the background, Fred, a.k.a. Chewbacca, dons his rose-colored glasses and attempts to get jiggy with his man-groomer. Come on, Fred, admit it. The reason you won't allow video is because you don't want people to see you man-grooming in studio. By the way, Eric, anyone who has a website and talks about himself in the third person, I think you see where I'm going. Anyway, have a great one, guys, and keep up the banter.
First of all, we didn't talk about my issues. Second of all, I told Tom about the wipes because I've been using the wipes for the better part of 5 years plus now.
Thirdly, why is he listening to Tuesday's show now during Thursday's show? Listen to that later.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you did a great job.
Why are you sucking up all of a sudden?
Well, I want to be well-loved,
like other members of the show.
Okay. Chris from the Bronx, who was one of our great emailers. I know the word explosive gets overused in sports, but I think it applies to Keith Rivers' pro day yesterday.
Yes.
He had a 4.51 40-inch vertical. Even before then, I was considering him for the number 7 spot, but now I'm even happier with that prospect, especially because the talent for 3-4 outside linebackers this year seems much deeper than for inside ones. My question, if the Pats pick Rivers with number 7, who's their strongest candidate for outside, assuming Golston and Groves will be gone by number 63? Anyone?
Wow. Assuming Golston and Groves, they will be.
Bueller? Yeah. Anyone?
I don't know. There's a lot of guys I like.
Where's my?
Who took my list?
Yeah, it's under your
under my Papagino's wrapper. there's a lot of guys that can play, I think. I'm going to my list now, so talk amongst yourself, Fred.
Dan says, that was a blast from the past hearing Bob Lobella stepping down. I don't get to watch the local Boston news anymore, but 20 years ago I used to see Lobella all the time. The last time I remember seeing him was when he announced that Bob Kraft bought the team and wouldn't be sold to an owner in St. Louis. Makes me feel old that he's retiring. The next thing you know, Dick Albert and Natalie Jacobson are going to hang it up.
Well, he's not retiring. He was asked to no longer be on their sports desk.
And Natalie Jacobson has been long gone.
Long gone.
Over a year.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe he was, that's a joke?
Maybe. Oh. Maybe.
I don't know about.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Who was the other one? Dick Albert? Is he gone too? I don't.
I think so.
Okay. Then
the weather guy, Dickie Albert.
It is a joke. Then I'm sorry.
Chet Curtis. He's still with Necken. Remember him?
Fred's still like just weak in the knees when he walked by his desk.
Chet and Natalie.
It's his little triumvirate: Lawyer Malloy, Wes Welker, Chet Curtis.
What about?
Which is why I don't understand how he makes fun of
Joe Green, Paul.
Chet Curtis has the biggest head on the face of the planet.
Who's Mean Joe Green's a Hall of Famer?
Hey, Mean Joe.
Have you seen Chet Curtis's head, Gary? It is massive. Absolutely massive.
Listen to the pot calling the kettle black over here.
He's got a bigger head than Andy.
He is the biggest, and you guys make fun of my skinny legs, he's the biggest top-heavy individual I've ever seen in my life. It's amazing he stays standing.
Well, I wasn't exactly checking out his legs or anything, but he has an enormous squash.
He has little twiggy legs. Kind of looks like those guys on the Muppets that end the show.
Oh, Statler and Waldorf.
Waldorf, yeah,
the old man up in the...
You know, for the life of me, I couldn't remember Statler. Because we were,
well, Stadler, what'd you think? I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
And then one of them punches the other one in the face.
Oh, Dick Albert's still there.
Still where?
Wherever. I told you I haven't watched the news in 10 years.
You do join Dick for a little while.
Oh, well, hey.
With Lori.
Oh,
so you got your list now, Andy?
Of what? Oh, those players.
Yes,
the outside.
I have mine too.
To answer the question that the emailer had.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot of guys. I don't think Harvey. I think he's a defensive end. I think the Lawrence Jackson kid could be an outside linebacker type for the Patriots. The Campbell kid out of Miami, I think, has a chance.
How do you pronounce that name? Callis?
I don't know. That's why
I go Calais.
That's why I called him the Campbell kid out of Miami.
He went into his Gil Brantism right there. I don't know how to pronounce his name, so I'm going to call him the kid.
I'm interested in the Cliff Avril out of Purdue. Obviously, we know they have a track record of producing those tweener outside linebacker, all the way back to Rosie Colvin and a number of others recently with Anthony Spencer. Am I talking fast?
No, I just like how you called him the whatever Avril.
Oh.
Sorry.
But I think there's
Frank
a number
Gerson
of those kids.
Starting to wipe, rub off now.
Mm-hmm. What?
Excuse me.
Huh?
What's that now?
No, I think there's a number of those guys. It's whoever Bill, I mean, we're not going to pretend that we know exactly what Bill is looking for in terms of a tweener. They're meeting with a kid out of Georgia today.
What do you want me to tell you?
Reese's Pieces report.
Marcus Howard.
Yeah, Howard out of Georgia. So they're clearly looking at all those tweeners, whether it be the top end of the draft, the bottom end of the draft.
Marcus Howard was decent. I didn't think there was anything too special there. But
just Keith Rivers. I mean, number 7. That's a high pick. And maybe he is that good, but he's got a big shadow he's going to be playing in, and his name is Patrick Willis, and he's in San Francisco because he's getting picked 4 slots ahead of him, and Willis came in and was a dominant impact Pro Bowl player, and that's what you're going to expect out of Keith Rivers, right? If he's taken higher than him the very next year?
Yeah. I thought Howard, I'm just looking at what I had written about him, he was one of those classic kind of rushers. He didn't do a whole lot else. He came off the edge in pretty much every play. He might be a little light to play outside line, you know.
Yeah, 245 they have him.
Yeah,
listed.
And it's hard with, we always use Mike Vrabel as kind of like this prototype, but Mike Vrabel's a bit of an athletic freak. You know, to be as big and as mobile and agile as he is, I think is a little rare. You know, Colvin is not nearly as big as Vrabel. So I think sometimes we hold it, we think that these guys have to be 280 pounds. They don't. And it's not surprising. I think, Andy, the points you made about Avril, Cliff Avril, I think probably there with Marcus Howard as well. I think that he had some good athleticism coming off the edge. I thought he got pushed a little bit wide of the pocket, which could be a problem. I don't know if he has a bag of tricks, and he'll have to learn how to find his way. But I thought there was some intriguing athleticism there at the very least with him.
But they're all next-tier guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is like a middle-round guy. I don't know where he's supposed to go. Do you have that list? you know, your NFL
draft.
I'm
not like Eric. I don't bring every paper that's on my desk down to the radio show.
Wow. Just a needless shot.
Hey, you know what? That was, hurtful.
Though. They but all
that,
are, but,
no, they're not all needless. That one was needless. No.
It wasn't really intended to be funny. It was just a shot.
We're talking about that expensive.
Right. At least when I'm making funny for being gay, there's some humor in there.
Wes Welker. We don't find it funny.
Oh. Well, I do.
By we.
Wes Welker would.
Let's see. We're talking about that expensive car before, and James in England says, the car Fred should get is the Bugatti Veyron. The production costs of the car are approximately £4 million per vehicle.
Wow.
Not sure like $8 million?
Exactly.
That's a lot more. Yeah.
Not sure what they sell at, but I'm sure Fred could afford it. That's the production cost. So we have to look that up, strippers. Bugatti Veyron with a V.
B-U-G-A-T-I?
V-A-R-O-N.
Thank you. Finishing my sentence.
Wow. By the way, strippers, did we say that on the air? Good job on the dirty thing. Did we talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we gave him props for that.
Wow.
I was in a hunger lull.
A haze for an hour and a half?
Wow. The other day I had a chance to
talk
with...
That's amazing to me.
Talked with Lawrence Maroney the other day.
Yes.
He had a little interesting tidbit he shared about goals for this upcoming season.
To be good before December?
Well, yeah.
yeah,
obviously.
Guys!
He and Sammy Morris are trying, or at least he said so, that their personal goal is to each have 1,000 yards rushing this season. Be one of the few teams in NFL history to have two rushers with 1,000 yards in a season.
Lawrence Maroney scores amazingly his first touchdown of the season.
Yeah,
I say amazingly because this team has now scored a total of 47 touchdowns.
That's another goal, to not be the 48th touchdown on the year with my first.
He was simply overpowered.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
It is interesting, but...
Absolutely.
I don't think there's any chance.
I don't think it's going to happen. And to be honest with you, I think it's a lot less likely to happen with Sammy Morris. I think that he is.
Right.
He's a complimentary back. I think he's the secondary back who last year proved, if needed, can step in and fill in admirably. But
I'd actually be disappointed if it happens because I want Maroney to have 1,700 yards.
Yeah, I think that there's a better chance of him getting, say 14 or 15 than there is of both of them getting 1,000.
Yeah, I don't want that.
They could combine for 2,000, but I think it would be 13 or 14 for Maroney and the rest for Morris.
Like the DiMaggio brothers combining for a million home. What are those jokes they all had?
Well, Hank Aaron.
Oh. It's the Aaron brothers are the most home runs by a brother tandem. But the DiMaggios don't really work because...
Dom
DiMaggio was an excellent
player, too.
Wasn't
there a third one then?
Vince, yes. I don't know how good he was.
He wasn't good, and there's a joke there or something.
Did you see them play, Paul?
Yeah. talk about needless shots.
It was needless.
You did?
Actually, according to this website,
going back to the 40,
the Bugatti Veyron.
No, that's funny.
The Bugatti Veyron only lists for $1.4 million, although it's 1,001 horsepower. It's built
so
by
Fred,
Volkswagen.
So, Fred, you'd be all set if you just got that couple of million that you're looking to catch you through the next stage of your life.
It's built by Volkswagen. It's sold under the French Bugatti Marquis. The Veyron features a W16 engine, 16 cylinders, and four banks of four cylinders. Each cylinder has four valves for a total of 64. It has 10 radiators. Wow. Full-time all-wheel drive.
What the bleep do you need 10 radiators for?
I don't know. But
I could see, like, oh, it has four radiators, but all the way up to 10.
But they're saying it says there are more expensive street legal vehicles produced. But anyway, that's
plus 1.4. It's
what does it look
not
like?
Even up to the
it's it looks like a type Ferrari type car.
Oh, I like the single exhaust. I like those.
Stripper says
a
quick quiz.
A little butthole.
Who was the seventh pick of the draft last
you
year?
Would like
quick,
that, wouldn't you?
Without looking it up.
Adrian Peterson.
The seventh?
Oh.
Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson.
Wow.
Well, we've looked it up because we wanted to look at his contract.
There you go.
What's the point of that?
Plus, he also was the best player in that draft, so it's kind of easy to remember where he was taken.
Okay. Let's
see. Now McFadden's not as good and could go higher. That's not fair.
Louis Nova says Fred sucks. Can Fred finish his explanation on the Caribbean colors of the sea? One question. How many times can a team be on a primetime schedule, and will we have to endure the Bears, Packers, and Cowboys, Redskins?
I believe it's six.
Six. No,
Patriots
six.
Had the limit last year.
So
and we should probably point out that,
yes,
too,
yes.
Fred.
Yeah, go ahead.
That we got a few, after the league announced the opening weekend primetime games and the Patriots weren't one of them, we had a few emails complaining that this was yet another example of how the league is punishing the Patriots for their Spygate situation. Come to find out, Robert Kraft actually openly lobbied the league, hoping that they wouldn't place them
early on,
in primetime, yeah, early in the year,
or for
and,
home
and
games.
Actually, yeah, requested specifically a 1 o'clock home game for the opener. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to get it, but my guess is they'll get it.
We're in favor of that.
Yeah, we're all in favor of that. But just interesting, you know, that Mr. Kraft thought that they played a lot of the night games are difficult on the fans, was his perspective, and we've certainly endured enough of them.
There's probably other reasons, too. We have the new restaurant with CBS opening up, and if it's a CBS game, then it's great to have it at 1 o'clock. You know, obviously, if it's a night game, it can't be on CBS.
That's true.
That is correct, Fred.
So,
I did very well right there.
You wanted to argue with me?
No.
Oh.
I just wanted to point out something that I'll point out in 19 minutes.
Plus, if it's a 1 o'clock game on CBS late in the year, the restaurant might be closed by then.
You know, see now, mine just snarf.
Mine wasn't going to be anywhere near as mean-spirited as that. I was just, I couldn't wait even 18 minutes.
What's the target date?
For what?
September. The restaurant?
Sometime in September.
Did you see that? They're $81 burger at one of these restaurants?
Not in the one we're building.
No, but isn't that what you're
only
selling?
60?
Kobe beef burger?
Speaking of should get a little with the burger.
Yeah. At this, the CBS restaurant. Didn't you tell me they were going to have Kobe beef burgers?
I never told you that.
Wait a minute. No. We talked about this on the show.
Wait,
and
Kobe
you did
beef
say, yes,
burgers don't cost $81.
I remember
do
that
they?
Conversation.
No, not all of them. You can get one for like $20, a normal.
Yeah, that's
18.
What I thought. It was just a ridiculous, expensive burger that made.
No,
it like
this one in New York is
well,
like
in Arizona,
the rarest
at the,
of rare.
At the, at the team hotel restaurant, they had open face Kobe burgers. It was only $14.
Right,
delicious.
I didn't have one.
Delicious.
I didn't either.
But
I
that's the kind of disposable income that some
right.
of us have. That
I had
a 12-course
catered buffet that was free, and you went out to get a $14 burger.
But it was really good.
Better be.
But didn't he say they were going to have Kobe beef at CBS scene?
Mr.
Yeah.
Kraft did say to
he might have said
the
it.
League, you know.
He said it on this show.
I haven't talked to Mr. Kraft in a long time.
Gary, do you have a tape of me?
Anything beyond hi.
Talking about Kobe he walks beef, by and says
hi.
What yes. do you think about something?
Yeah. What are you hearing? Whatever you want me to hear,
right.
Mr. Kraft.
What's the right answer?
Stop laughing, Paparillo.
Speaking of that,
see him tonight, right? Yeah.
Mick Malloy wants to know: would it be possible?
Mick
to
Malloy,
get
where's he been?
He's back. Would it be possible to get an 8x10 glossy autographed of you, Paul? And also, P.S. Fred has a face for a webcast.
audio webcast.
I was waiting for the punchline there.
That's it. That's all.
But I also thought it was interesting that Mr. Kraft asked them if they were going to put him on in primetime to make it on the road. You know, and that's it's an effort to help the fans, but I thought that would actually hurt the team a little bit. I mean, I got to think that stretch of night, road, primetime games last year was tough to get through.
Oh, yeah.
For the Patriots.
Yeah, we were tired.
Paul, who was number
70? Well, we were, so can you imagine how they felt?
No, that's what I remember Belichick saying that night, remember?
Who was number 73 on the Bills in the late 70s?
I don't know.
He was the biggest man I've ever seen in my life. Some defensive lineman. He just batted down a Terry Bradshaw pass. And
what number was Bruce Smith?
78.
78, yeah.
And he wasn't in the mid-70s
in the
80s. There. Bruce Smith just retired a couple of years ago.
Let's see. Alejandro says, hello, Eric, Andy, Tom, Paul, and Fred. Why Eric first and Fred last? I made the list in increasing weight order.
Ah, see what you say did there.
Tom weighs more than I do.
Tom Does weighs he? The most here by far.
Yeah. I just look like I weigh more.
How's your thing going?
What?
How's your
diet?
Yeah.
Good. He's just down to large meatball sub. How you think it's going?
That's it. I'm good for the day.
You're not going to eat again?
Very little.
That's not healthy either.
I know.
Oh, good. 19.
I was arguing with an acquaintance about football. Her argument was that
it's a
I
list of names, Gary. How am I supposed to decide which one is? Gave me 20 guys that wore 73 for the Bills.
Don't interrupt.
Name them for me, and I'll tell you if I can figure out the right one.
Chuck McMurtry, George Flint, Dave Costa, Howard Kindig,
Richard Richard Cheek.
Meet him. I play with them.
Jeff Kirchen, Carl Edwards, Ken Jones, Makili Iririmia, John Borchardt.
This is anywhere near as fun as I thought it would be.
Will Wolford, Mike Lodish, Carl Wilson, Marcus Price.
It might have been Mike Lodish.
Meathead, I play with them.
Why don't you just leave him alone?
He batted down a Terry Bradshaw pass and caught it, and then Bradshaw just wrapped around one thigh, and the guy was carrying him on one thigh.
It might have been Mike Lodish.
I don't think he played in the 70s, Paul.
Lodish. How do you know it was from the 70s?
Because we were just watching the tape over here.
It looks 70s-ish.
Going back to the 40s.
When did Bradshaw retire, too?
Early 80s.
Andy thinks anything not in high def is from the 70s.
Right.
You can tell from this tape. That
Plus, when does it doesn't say when Mike Lodish played?
No.
Lodish was on those Super Bowl teams, wasn't he? All those Bills Super Bowl teams, I believe.
Couldn't have played 12 years.
Well, I'm just...
Sorry, guys. It was a giant. He looked like he was 7'7".
I don't...
It looked like the
Big
Show
of any of those other guys except
weather.
For Mike Lodish. That's the only reason why I said it might be him.
Will Wolford? Won that fight? You've heard of Will Wolford. Right?
Yeah, but he's not.
Right, you've got WrestleMania, right? You're rich.
I don't have WrestleMania.
It already happened. I didn't know who won that fight between the Big Show and Floyd Mayweather.
Mayweather. But I guess the Big Show was killing him the whole match, and there was some kind of...
It's fixed, you goof.
...shenanigans at the end.
You saw the big thing at WrestleMania, though.
No.
The fireworks malfunction, and 45 people got burned. And
the only reason why I know that is because Jim the Wrestling Goon wrote it, called in the other day, and he was screaming and yelling about that punk. Man, he kept calling him Merryweather, too.
You know he got $20 million for that, right?
That's amazing.
One night appearance. Well, not one night appearance. He had to do a couple lead-ins on, like, Monday night, but $20 million.
Unbelievable.
To act, as you said, Fred. It's fixed.
How much did they make on the pay-per-view? Do you know?
I don't know. I mean, it was $54.99 or $59.99.
Well, with Gary and Tom, I'm sorry, not Gary, with Andy and Tom no longer purchasing these, I can't imagine they're getting too much money from those.
That's a lot of money for wrestling. Like,
how much they charge?
$54.99, I believe.
That's so ridiculous.
Well, you do it. You get in a room with a bunch of your idiot wrestling friends and you split it.
Well, that's not good for them.
No, but
they want more losers sitting at home ordering.
That's how it works, right? Anyway, back to Alejandro's email. He said he was arguing with an acquaintance about football. Her argument was that I could not be a fan having never been to an American football game of any kind. I responded that the game is very well suited for following on television. With that in mind, I'd like to ask, one, what are the advantages and shortcomings of seeing the game live? I'll tell you one shortcoming. On TV, you don't see the coverage schemes. So what are some of the advantages and disadvantages of seeing it live?
The advantage would be that you get to
see
the whole field. You get to see the whole field, so you can see the coverage, you can see the patterns,
the
and things like that.
Better.
The disadvantage, in my opinion, would be depth perception is ridiculously bad. You can't really tell.
And people standing up.
How many yards, guys are getting and stuff like that. On TV, you have a very good sense of first downs and yardage.
And replays, depends where you sit.
But Alejandro, you are correct. The game today in the NFL is well suited for TV.
Yes. That pays the bills.
It's a perfect game.
But it's a good TV game.
Right.
You kind of miss the excitement not having been there live.
Feels like it goes by faster, too, when you're in person for some reason.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I think you're right. Anyway, two, is TV the reason why the NFL is so popular? Yes.
That's one reason.
Absolutely.
Well, part of it is the game that is played once a week and it's appointment entertainment.
I think that means something.
The number one thing going for football, I think, is that.
Yep. And finally, why can't the fans from overseas have a web subscription to PFW Online?
Because Fred won't do it.
You can. You just have to pay full price at this point. We're working on it.
We are efforting to get that done for you.
Let's see. Chris Simonelli, another one of our...
Great
emailers.
Hall of Fame emailer, not just because he bought lunch a number of times.
He attached an Excel file that he came across the other day, and it's got the draft order, so which might help us. But he says, I just want to say, as a huge Pats fan, I was glad to see that both Bob and Bill came out and talked this week. In my opinion, it was long overdue. I do feel this whole issue won't be put to bed until Wall speaks, however. On to the draft. I know we usually can't rule out anything the Pats do on draft day. That being said, some mocks have them taking a defensive or offensive lineman. Say Dorsey or Ellis fall to them at 7. Do you think those are worthy picks? And what about Clady and Albert?
I like all of them except Albert. I'm not as high on Albert as some people.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of taking him in the top 10 at all.
I wouldn't either.
But, yeah, I mean, Dorsey at 7?
Sure.
I mean, that's good value.
I won't be happy.
Say.
I've been bitching that they've invested too much in the defensive line
but
for years.
But being happy about it and excited about it and picking a really good player are two different things, don't you think, Andy?
Yes.
I would agree with you that I don't think it would be the sexiest pick they could make, but I think Glenn Dorsey's a pretty good player, and if he's there at seven,
he's a very good player.
That's good value.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a linebacker or a corner, a playmaker.
Could have been Earl Edwards.
Now, should I ask one more question here? Was Terry Bradshaw really short?
No, he was regular size.
Okay.
This guy just impressed you with his height.
He was massive.
Was he jumping in the air?
Yeah, but he was still massive.
Yeah?
Bradshaw came up to, like, the top of his numbers.
Like I said, was he jumping in the air?
Read a freaking email.
Let's see. Strippers, we talked earlier about the dirty, how it's getting a lot of props for the line art pictures. He says the pics are from thedirty.com. TMZ ran the pics. But you see the Dirty.com watermark on every pic.
Oh, nice.
So the Dirty broke the story. What is the Dirty?
It's a site.
I mean,
yeah, but for what?
They don't have like
dirty stuff.
They don't have news gatherers out there reporting on. They just, people send stuff to them, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way the world works now. It's all.
Right.
Clearly, those photos were from somebody that was there.
Is it a dirty paparazzi site kind of thing?
Well, there's no nipples. They cover all nipples, even men's nipples.
Really?
They put little stars over men's nipples. Maybe that's a joke. I don't know.
I think it was a joke.
No. I was on the site, and the men's nipples were covered, too.
I think it was a joke.
Whether it's a joke or not, they do it.
I know, but I think it was a joke. Let's see. Mensa from the Bronx. What do you guys think of the Patriots drafting the LSU all-purpose running back? I have kind of forgotten his name, but he did really excel at LSU as running back and fullback. I still think they should get a kind of package together to see if they can trade for Chad Johnson. Also, whatever happened to Seward? Do you guys think they would go after Shepard from the Eagles and Sean Alexander from the Seahawks? So,
Alexander,
wow, a lot in there.
Yeah.
Shepard, I wouldn't be surprised. There's more rumblings now that the Eagles are definitely going to trade him. And whenever there's quiet, and a team expected to trade, I feel like the Patriots are always kind of sneaking around.
Well,
did you
notice that Pac-Man Jones still mentioned? He actually mentioned that the Patriots are interested in him the other day. Yeah,
I didn't see that.
That's because he wants people to believe it.
He said, "You know, I'd still want to wear the star on my helmet. There are other teams interested in me: the Redskins, the Patriots." And he mentioned one other team. It might have been Buffalo. I'm not sure.
Keeping his options open.
He just wants as many. He wants it out there.
I just wonder if the Patriots actually are interested or if it's just a lot of...
That
know.
Stupid Buffalo thing? I was thinking of Mike Kadish, not Mike Lodish.
I was going to say.
But he was number 71.
And Gary tells me Terry Bradshaw 6'3". So this dude was at least 6'8".
Was he jumping up?
Now, did he intercept the pass?
Yeah.
And he returned it for a touchdown?
No.
Okay.
I think he actually lateraled it to another D lineman because Bradshaw was hanging onto his thigh.
Okay, that's it, you know. Because there's listed, isn't it, that Earl Edwards guy isn't listed to have an interception, but there's another, like a Pat, another defensive lineman, Pat Toomey, had one interception for 44 yards. So I wonder if maybe they just did the stats wrong.
Another player
we're going to get to the bottom of this on BMW Progress.
Another player Mensa mentions here is Chad Johnson, and another guy Marvin Lewis is trying to play hardball with, saying that, you know, if he doesn't play with us, he's not playing.
Well, do you really? I mean,
what the hell are you?
You're at a loss for words.
I'm at a loss for words.
Do you really? I mean,
if you're sure, it'd be great to have him. But after what the offense did last year, they have basically the same amount of people coming back.
I'd rather have him if he played linebacker.
I was going to say there are other positions that I'd rather have the team put their emphasis on than trying to get Chad Johnson.
And it's not like they're just going to dump him. Even if you could get a trade,
you'd have to give up something good for him. Right.
Significant value to get him. I agree with you, Eric. It took you a while to get that out, but once you started talking, it was pretty good.
Thank you.
I was waiting for him to call him the flavor of the month or something really, you know, deep.
Yeah, those big words he uses.
What about Seward, Adam Seward?
There's still a possibility, according to Bill. Yeah.
Bill says don't close the book on
that.
That one.
They would offer him a...
Just as a procedural kind of thing, though, Fred, they have to do that. If they're going to sign him to an arbitration, they have to do so before April 18th.
Okay.
That's the deadline. Approaching.
Apparently the man with his nipples covered was Pittsburgh kicker Jeff Reed. He's got man boobs, it says.
Oh, God.
Maybe that's why they have him covered.
He's with a decent-looking blonde. I don't know. It's a bad printout, Gary.
Brian in Farmington, Connecticut. Two things. I think we need to look at the draft as a whole. So many people are saying that this guy and that guy are not first-round material. But looking at the total pool of players, what guys are actually first-round material?
None of them.
None of them.
No. It's a very
small. It's a bad draft.
It's a small number on the top-heavy side.
Yeah.
It's not top-heavy.
It's, yeah.
But any of those guys from deep. 1 to 12 are first-round
But, yeah, there's
material.
Guys that are first-round picks. We just don't think they're a top-end. We're talking about top seven.
Right. No, right. That's not what he's asking, though. He's just talking about first-round
like
material.
Patrick Willis, the guy I'm talking about with Keith Rivers. If Patrick
if he was
Willis,
here today, he'd be number two.
Be, yeah, top five pick.
Right, right.
So that's the comparison.
That's what we're talking
Adrian
about.
Peterson would be a much higher pick. Yep. Joe Thomas would be... You know, Jake Long would then be 12th ranked or something. So.
I think that's what might be lacking, and I think Bill said as much on Tuesday.
Yeah. Corroborating Mel Kiper's instincts from back in November.
The way Bill put it, you know, there's the positions, each position almost to without exception is deeper than it was last year. But that, I don't think they have the high-end talent that Andy and Tom immediately, I'm sorry, Andy and Eric immediately came back from the combine saying that there's only probably about five or six or seven guys. There aren't, you know, 10 or 12 blue chippers like they have in some other drafts.
Yep. Two, Fred, you should have one of the guys record a quick spot about the stories that you guys are working on for the paper. I think previewing the paper would be a great marketing tool, and I, for one, would rather hear that than another spot for the freaking Patriot sausages or those super annoying Bank of America football fans. That commercial makes me want to kill. Keep up the good works, and where the hell is Tom?
Who was that?
Brian from Connecticut.
I think that's a bit, that's not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea.
Want to subscribe? Call 1-800-4.
Yeah, we should get some spots going.
But, you know, when we have an opportunity, if we can, would it take us, one of us, 5 minutes?
Well, by the way, it's 1-800-494-PATS if you want to subscribe. 1-800-494-PATS.
And we do call this show PFW in Progress, so
right.
We can, it's very easy for us to explain some of the stuff we're working on.
Right. But speaking of Patriot sausages, Matt Castle and Wes Welker were here earlier. So you don't want to miss that coming up at the beginning of the replay.
Man's a menace.
In case you missed the beginning of this show, Gary's replaying it at 2, and you can hear that little interview that we did with those guys. So that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will see you next Tuesday.